Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Seattle Mariners 5-3 yesterday. Sal Stewart hit a three-run home run in the seventh that put the Reds up for good. With the win, the Reds completed a three-game sweep of the M's and have won four straight overall. On the other hand, the Guardians had a two-game win streak snapped when they lost to the Minnesota Twins 10-6 yesterday. However, some good news for Guards fans as we saw the return of Jose Ramirez in last night's contest. He went 2-for-5 after coming back from left-hand surgery. And finally, Ohio State lost out on a big target in recruiting yesterday as five-star running back David Gabriel Georges committed to the Tennessee Volunteers over the Buckeyes. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Thursday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He is Tyvis, as the intro said. Good morning, go to hell. Tyvis, how are you?
I am doing well. Doing well this morning.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good. Glad to hear it. I was doing pretty well yesterday. I was having a pretty good day.
And then what?
We had like a comedy of errors at the house, like all in like a 5 minute span.
Mm.
So we had one of my daughters getting ready, like to go. She had a thing she had to go to. So she has a curling iron. Okay. So curling iron is on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rule about the curling iron, which is don't set it on the ground, on your bed, on any soft surfaces. You set it on like a desk or a counter or something because like
yeah.
It's hot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, someone was in a hurry, set it on the ground. Problem number one.
Was this ground? Is carpet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, there was like a towel, I guess, but still, towel
that's
also.
Even more, yeah.
Right.
That's
so
even
I'm worse. Just like, okay. So that's problem number one.
Okay.
Nobody knew this, though. So I'm guessing this isn't the first time this happened. So I had to have that discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then. The compounding the issue is that our youngest, who is nosy and does not know the bounds that we put in front of her, she goes into the older sibling's room all the time, unexpectedly, unwarranted, and when she's not allowed to,
mm-hmm.
Right? She takes stuff, so we've been working with that. Because then stuff comes up missing, and then yeah. We find it in the youngest room, and we have to have that conversation. And the older two are not as patient. They're not gentle parenting, shall we say? They're just pissed off that their stuff's missing, and they don't care who took it, even if the kid is six. Anyway, so then compounding the issue is that the youngest walks in to that room, which was not occupied because the one who was using the curling iron had to go take a shower. So now the curling iron is sitting hot on the carpet.
She grabbed it.
No, she stepped on it.
Oh.
So that led to wailing and gnashing of teeth in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, because I'm downstairs and I just hear screaming. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, okay. You know the difference. As a parent, you know the difference in cries. You know when it's serious.
I know it's legit.
And you know when it's just them trying to get attention.
Yes. And so then the third daughter, who's not been mentioned so far, she comes out and is like, it's bad. She's hurt. Something went wrong. I don't know what she did. And I'm like, I know, I'm getting up. I'm coming. So get up there and find out. She stepped on this curling iron. So then we had that whole debacle. She's freaking out like she got a gunshot wound, which I get. It hurt. Now she has a giant line on her foot. And so we're trying to comfort her. Meanwhile, mom is working. Mom works from home.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to play referee during the summer. Like, you guys don't understand. When I leave here, I go home. And as soon as I get home, it's what are we doing? Where are we going? This one's annoying. That one's loud. I got to go over here. And it's all like, it's, and meanwhile, everybody's whisper yelling. Everybody's just, hey, stop it. You're quiet. Shut up. It's that. For 8 hours, it's all the whisper yelling you want in our house. Just, hey, knock it off. So now I have a burned foot. I have a kid who has to be told, like, you can't leave your hot curling iron on the floor, so I have to have that discussion. And then also we just are all trying to keep us quiet while mom is on the phone. So then,
so yeah, two out of the three is got a situation.
Well, and the third is hovering to be like, what shall come of this drama? Who shall get in trouble? I shall watch. So there's all that. So then as I'm comforting the youngest, who, I mean, again, she is in pain. I'm not trying to minimize that, but also she is more terrified. Like, she kept saying, like, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. I'm like, I'm not going to touch it. Like, I'm whispering because I'm just, it's like, I know it hurts. We got to stay quiet for mom.
I need to have this on video. This is the fact that
So I'm like, stay here, be quiet. I'm going to go get a bag, put some ice in it. We'll try to put some ice on this and maybe that'll help it feel a little bit better. And then of course that was, you know, so I'm getting all that. So I'm sitting there, the ice is helping. It's comforting her a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to figure out what to do. And she's like, and of course she's six. She's old enough to understand. She's like, do I have to go to the doctor? Do I have to get a shot? And I'm like, no, you don't have to get a shot. Just be quiet. Like, I would not go to the doctor. I think you're okay. Just hold on. And she's like, I'm not okay. It hurts. And I'm like, I know it hurts. You want to go or not? I'm sorry. Do you want to go to the doctor? Then if not, stop complaining. So we're just. So then while all that's occurring in the background, I hear this. And I'm like,
no.
Is this your dog?
No, this is the cat. This is a cat. And I'm not talking about a little bit of cat yak. I'm talking about the most throw up I've ever seen from any animal.
Just projectile vomiting.
All over our stairs. Like, all over the stairs.
Well, the four of you are stressing the cat out with all your whisper yelling. Yes.
Well, no. Hey. The oldest is not stressed. She's in the shower. The middle one is like, Dad, the cat's vomiting. I'm like, I hear it. And she's like, I'm like, how bad is it? She's like, it's bad. It smells really bad. I'm like, I know it smells. It's vomit. How much of it is there? So then I'm like, okay, you take your sister and you keep her quiet. I got to go check on the cat vomit. And so then I'm like, which cat was it? Because we have an older cat that vomits all the time. So I was kind of anticipating it was that one. And I had my fingers crossed like, dear Lord, is today the day where you just take her home? Because I'm done cleaning up this cat vomit. Surprise, surprise. It wasn't the old one. That one was fine.
Oh, my God.
It was our youngest cat that was just out of nowhere. Decided today's a great day to vomit everywhere. At the end of the vomit, which I know, I'm sorry, it's gross and you're getting up, getting ready for your day. I apologize for all of it. At the end of this day, at the end of this vomit trail, I find the culprit. There's like a plastic wrapper. So cat is fine other than it ate plastic and then that caused it to throw up. And it threw up the entire contents of, I feel like, the last 2 weeks. Because I don't know if this thing has like a bowel blockage or what, but like, I don't know how that much food was in his belly, but it got all over the stairs. So
you had to handle all this.
Yes. And apparently, I just want to give myself a star and say I did a pretty good job. Because
you got a gold star.
Because here's why. So as I'm like, okay, give me, where's the Lysol wipes? And I'm like looking for the sprays. And I'm like, is it in your bathroom? And my middle daughter is helping. She's like, it's over there. And I'm like, okay, I'll go get it. And keep Abby quiet because Abby's still like, do I have to go to the doctor? No, stop. It's okay. Mom is down on the phone. Meanwhile, I hear her talking about her job and I hear like the jargon flying. So I'm like, okay, she's on a phone call. So we really have to be quiet. Get all done. Everybody's kind of calmed down. Go yell at the oldest for leaving her curling iron out. Whatever. That's all done. Come back, sit down. About an hour later, wife walks through and she's like, oh, done. Just, you know, back upstairs. She works down in the den. So she comes upstairs and I'm like, oh, by the way, Abby burned her foot. What? And panic. So then now I have to re-explain the story. She's panic. And I go, oh, by the way, cat threw up. She's like, what? And then I'm like, so I actually nailed it because she didn't know. She had no idea. Mm. So I'm giving myself a gold star for hand. Now I traumatized three children.
Let me ask you.
And I scared a cat.
Let me ask you this.
Because of course with him, he's just staring at me. And I'm like, you get the hell out of here. Like, I'm so sick of you. Why today, Max? Of all days. All of our cats are named after crew players, so we have Siggy, Frankie, and now Max, which actually is Max Arfston. So that's who we had come in here.
Did you take a nap yesterday?
No! I was cranky! Angry bone! I was very angry because I got no nap and there's cat vomit and there's burned feet.
I had the exact opposite of you. I left here yesterday because I had to do the hit.
Yeah.
So I got home at about 11:05-ish.
Yeah.
And my wife was actually going to the Franklin County Fair to go look at animals or something like that.
That's nice.
So she took.
Do any of them vomit uncontrollably on your stairs?
No.
Good.
So she took.
I like those animals.
The two oldest. And it was me and Trace all day.
Oh, you get to have a little father son time.
Yeah, me, Trace, and Max. It was full of just men.
Your guy's dog is named Max,
yeah,
right?
Just full of men. All males. All the women left.
Some of you even have genitals. Isn't that nice? That's great. Some of you have fully, we presume. I don't know. Is Max still with genitals, or has he been spayed and or neutered?
He's
been neutered.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's not unfortunate. Bob Barker said that was a great thing to do for the animals.
No, Max should have reproduced. He's a good dog.
Is he
good dog?
How big?
Miniature golden dude. He's about 26 pounds. 27.
Oh, okay.
Pounds.
Yeah, that's a great size. Yeah. Great family size.
Yeah, he's just the right size that he don't get in trouble. If he was any bigger, he'd get in trouble.
Oh, how so?
Because he like could reach up on the tables and like snatch stuff.
Oh, right.
Down
okay.
And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff he shouldn't be able to. He's just small enough that he's not.
Yeah. See, that's good. Yeah, I like that. That's a right side. Our dog is big enough to get in trouble, but he knows because he's heard whisper yelling off. His name's Boomer, which we no joke, named him. I got to name all the animals. I named him after the failed Blue Jackets mascot that looked like a penis. That was a cannon, but it looked like a giant penis. So that is Boomer, our dog. His name. Like I had to do a Jackets name for him. I did crew names for the cats.
You should do the one like the World Cup where it inflates.
That gif is getting traction, man. That gif is when she holds your hand and then it's just the inflatable World Cup.
Or it's like my man whenever I get out of the shower.
That thing's doing numbers. God, whoever put that video up, good for you. All right, yeah. So, well, I'm glad you had a more chill day. One of us should have.
Well, I mean, my day is always chill. You know,
I don't let come over to my house.
Yeah,
there's no chill.
The chaos don't.
We have chaos all the time.
Chaos, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday I thought maybe I'll mow the yard today. Or maybe, like, you know, sometimes my middle daughter, she likes to mow the yard too. So sometimes, like, I'll do the front, she'll do the back.
Yeah.
After that, we were both looked at each other and was like, it's not happening today. And I was like, no, it's mental health day. No, we're done. Cleaned up vomit, had to deal with a burn unit apparently. So yeah, that was fun. Also fun last night, the crew played. I'll tell you what happened in that game. Plus, Tyvus is very excited about fake grass going in another location. All that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Well, noticing a crash already on this early Thursday, and it's happening in our southwest area, really just when you're passing Urban Crest. It's on that 71 northbound ramp to 270 westbound. We also have impacts to 270 in that westbound direction nearby to 71 southbound. That right shoulder is the thing now blocked for you out there. We can see it with our live traffic cam. No longer seeing traffic, but of course, it could build up, so a heads up out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Pizza.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept! And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hard to beat weather like this morning, as we'll have a mainly clear sky and comfortably cool temperatures, more like September than late July. For the afternoon, mostly sunny skies, still low humidity, highs reach the upper 70s. Partly sunny skies to finish off the work week tomorrow, a little bit warmer but still nice, lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. In terms of the Waffle House menu, Tyvus covered and smothered his opponents. Meanwhile, T-Bone is a chunk of hash who's often covered in gravy. I'm not sure what that means either. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
The last night after, cat vomit and burned foot and craziness at our house, I decided, okay, I'm going to have a little me time. I'm going to sit down, flip on the crew game. Which meant I had to go through Apple TV,
because
that's where the crew game is.
Yep.
and I have an Apple TV subscription.
Same. Mine is through my phone bill.
Oh, I didn't know if it was that or through your very legal Fire Stick that you have that is totally okay.
Allegedly.
No, legal.
I don't even talk about those things.
I'm sure it's very legal and on the up and up, and it's all good. It's all fine. That's fine. So I flip on the Crew game last night, which, by the way, Apple, great job. I like go to watch the game. Apple does this stupid thing where they have a pregame show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they have a network.
Yes.
They have a studio. They have people talking about all the Major League Soccer games that are about to happen.
Okay.
To watch that, you have to go watch that on your Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Then it ends. Then the game that you would want to watch would be on, if you so choose. You have to then back out of that and go into the game and then click in. Yes. So what you would think is,
easily would just cross right into it.
You would think what you would be able to do is click on the game you want that hasn't started yet, and they would just instantly route you to the pregame show, which is for everyone, mm-hmm. and just, you know, have a little thing at the bottom like your game, Crew versus New York City, coming up at 7:30. No. So that was a little annoying. But more annoying was that when I backed out of the game, the pregame, it instantly like logged me out of Apple, and I had to like re-log in.
Did you use your phone?
Yes, I used my phone. I'd scan the QR code. And I got and it's just like, Apple, what do you think? What do you think you have in there? It's an Apple TV subscription. What could be bad if someone does hack it?
I will say
$1 million. And who do you think you kidnapped, Chelsea Clinton?
Like, do you think they got like state secrets in there? You don't have anything.
But I will say, these companies, they're making that QR code thing. It's made it very
convenient. It has simplified it.
Yes.
But it's annoying.
I'm not as mad as I once was if I had to sit there and type in my whole email and my whole password.
I agree. But then I went to go click on the Crew game, and it was
locked.
It's included. Okay. And so I got on it and I'm watching it, and it starts playing. It's the intro that's playing. And then I forget what happened where like, I had to get up for a second. I came back and I was like, oh, let me rewind and just see what I missed on this little intro thing. And then I'll catch up at some point. Oh, it's the lineups. And as I go to rewind it, it just backed me completely out of the thing again, because probably I hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
And I had to log in again. I was just like, it did this to me like three times. And I'm
age.
Yeah, I know. I felt super old. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm like, I do know. I hit the button that scrolls back, because then I did it again when I was actually in there and it worked fine. So I don't. Whatever. Anyway, finally got in to watch the game, and then I watched the Crew lose 2-1 to New York City FC and looked like they forgot how to play soccer,
stained. It's been a while.
Yeah, they were rusty, but you know who else is rusty? New York City FC, because they also were not playing during this break. Nobody was. So,
well, some select players were. The goalie was playing.
Yeah. Matt Fries, who, by the way, good job, Crew fans.
They booed him.
Every time he touched the ball, which I'll take that. Like, that was nice to see. Good that you booed him. Even the broadcast was like, I don't know why they're booing him. I mean, he had a phenomenal tournament, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did you watch him? Like, he didn't have anything to do most of the tournament. Like, they kept the ball away from him up until they played Belgium. And then suddenly he looked like he forgot how to play soccer. So,
by the way, whatever. I meant to ask you yesterday, why is the goalkeeper of the U.S. national team on an eighth place team in the MLS?
That's a great question. Because honestly, they have had guys who played at higher levels, but for whatever reason, like, there was a guy the Crew used to have, Zach Steffen, who went over, he signed with Manchester City. That was like a huge deal. Problem is, they had a guy ahead of him, so they kept loaning him out to like lower level European teams so he could play, but then he fell out of favor and kind of like wasn't as good for the national team. Now he plays, I think, in Colorado. He came back to MLS. Anyway, like, I thought Zach Steffen was going to be the men's goalkeeper for like 10 years, and it just has not panned out for him at all. So, yeah, I'm not sure why they couldn't find anybody better than like a guy who plays in MLS to be the goalie, but whatever. So the Crew, he was fine though. Crew didn't really give him much to do last night, which is the bigger problem for the Columbus Crew. They have just, they got to figure it out. Well, and their GM, Issa Tall, has a lot of work to do if they're going to make this.
They also lost their top scorer, Diego Rossi.
They did.
You got to replace him. You know, Max is only one guy.
I love Max. Max had perhaps the worst game of his life yesterday. It was rough. Max Arfson is getting interest from Middlesbrough, which is an English soccer team. I think the phone line is getting cut after this. I think it was, dude.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, everybody, to be fair, he wasn't the only one. Everybody looked rough, but it was one of the worst games I've seen him play in the black and gold. So I got to be real. Like, I like the guy. I'm rooting for him, but that was a rough game. So not the start you wanted. The Crew do play FC Cincinnati on Saturday. In a little early preview of that one, FC Cincinnati likes to give up goals. So maybe the Crew can score in that game. They did score. They got a penalty like at the very end of the game. It was 2-0. Game was pretty much out of reach. They got a penalty. So it looks better on paper, 2-1, but you lost at home. You should at least tie at home.
And to think, you could have went today.
Last night? Mm. No, I'm sorry. I was covered in cat vomit and burn ointment. So no, I couldn't. I didn't make it. And by the way, I still had to go pick up and drop off for with all this musical stuff going on. It was a busy day.
By the way, anyway. Speaking of results from last night, we got something from the Department of Corrections.
Did we?
Yes.
What happened?
Bearcats and AJ in the YouTube chat. Yeah. I said that the Reds sweep the Mariners. They did not. They won 2 out of 3.
Oh.
Reading is tough.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
When did you say that at?
In the update.
Oh, yeah, yes. Department of Corrections. Got to get that right. Mm-hmm. Should we do that every day? Because I bet I have at least 5 or 6 things that I get wrong every single day.
But, I mean, we can. I'll just have to get my stuff together. I'll be featured.
No, don't get your stuff together. So we have a segment called Department of Corrections. If you start getting it right, the segment disappears. By the way, if you ever hear anything dumb and you want to comment on it, or you just want to give a comment in general, 614-460-8010. That is the new voicemail line. We get voicemails in all the time. But yeah, we're going to play some of those today when we get them. 614-460-8010. But yeah, thank you guys for all who have like saved that in your phone, who've started using it. We have gotten a lot of calls to that line. So it's actually been a little overwhelming because I was going through some of them this morning. I'm like, man, there are just a lot of these. And some of them were pertaining to what we were talking about yesterday, but that's cool. I appreciate that everybody's jumping in on that. Also, Tyvus was very excited yesterday. Could not wear sweatpants because Kansas City, they announced their new stadium. It's probably going to be in the state of Kansas. They showed the renderings for the first time. What do they have over top of it?
Glass dome, baby.
Giant roof.
Glass dome. That's the new wave.
Yes.
I think Minnesota started it. And then is the Mercedes-Benz dome glass?
They have the glass wall. Maybe the top is glass too.
I'm not 100% sure.
Mercedes. Are we talking about
Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
You're talking about Minnesota?
No.
Atlanta or New Orleans?
No, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta doesn't have a glass top. They might have like a glass facade somewhere, but no. Like,
they don't got glass top.
No, they got the, it's an unfortunate name. It's the little hole at the top that some people have called Megatron's BH because it's like it looks like a robotic. Uh-huh. It's just a little circle that opens and closes.
Glass?
No, I don't think so. I think it's all metallic.
Oh, I'm looking. I see.
Yeah, it's closed. But the one that you're talking about with Minnesota, they have a huge glass wall because I remember there was a problem. Birds kept flying into it and dying.
Well, it ain't no wall. It's like what the Browns is getting. It's like Kansas City. It's a glass roof.
But I think they also have a, well, either way, the point is,
I know what it is.
No, but the outside. I think the outside has a glass vertical wall because they said birds kept running into it.
Let me look it up right quick.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
Kansas City.
It does for the people. They need to know the truth.
Kansas City is going to have a glass dome. This is on the heels of literally.
Yeah, they got a glass wall too.
Okay. That's what I thought. Every NFL player that has spoken on the record about it has said, we'd love to play on natural surfaces, please. We'd prefer natural grass. The NFL's already come back and been like, no, probably not. And now this isn't yet another stadium where if you were going to put grass in it, I guess the glass roof would help, but it's still going to be a challenge to grow grass inside a dome if they ever come up. I don't know that rule will ever change, but the point is Kansas City is going to be playing in a dome. That is yet another outdoor stadium where you have an outdoor environment that's pretty awesome during the playoffs. Now that's going to turn into a sterile corporate, looks like a bank when you walk in there. So congratulations. Another bit of football environment going away because of corporate interest. But they'll get a WrestleMania probably once or maybe an NCAA Final Four. So that's all worth it, I guess.
They call it the house that Taylor and Travis built.
Sure. Go ahead.
And
call it that.
Sure, Patrick Mahomes can get a little bit of credit.
The price tag on this thing?
No.
$3 billion.
What was the Browns?
I think it was like 2-something billion. Well, once you take out the 600 grand you stole from children in the state of Ohio, that, you know, once you take that out, all that money could have gone to schools and roads and everything else. That would have been great. Now we took $600 million away from
them. How much would it have cost if they put in natural grass?
Oh, yeah. $14 billion. It would have just been the whole thing. Would have just been, it's so costly. You can't even do it. An SEC coach got fired up with a member of the media yesterday. You will hear it in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Spotting two disabled vehicles on your roads. The first one's going to be in New Albany. Yes, it's on 161, that eastbound direction just beyond Hamilton Road. That left shoulder is closed. So maybe if you want to avoid some delays, take East Dublin Granville Road instead. That could save you some time. Also, just outside of Worthington, that other disabled vehicle affecting 71 southbound. It's passing 270 and really close to State Route 161. That right shoulder is closed out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. No, I've never heard of the band on T-Bone's shirt either. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tell you what, I'm not sure what I'm going to walk into today when I get home. Just,
you make me nervous.
It's what you have to look forward to.
You know, usually I'm against the nap thing, but you deserve a nap, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I will not get one because everybody is...
Today, do you got something to do today? You got some running around to do today?
There's always... Yes, this is... Like, this is...
This is my future, you know? When my two daughters hit teenage status, this is what's going to happen, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's
10 years. Well, yeah. What, your oldest 16, right?
About to be, yeah.
Yeah, 10 years from now, I'm going to have your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get ready for that. It's real exciting.
You know
it's
what? I have
always a new adventure.
I have to go to the dentist later, and I don't know how you guys feel about going to the dentist, but sometimes I don't look forward to it.
Why? You scared of cavities?
No, I've never had a cavity, but I feel like they shouldn't lecture you.
Are you flossing? That's the first question.
Not.
That's the question
I'm
they're going to ask you. Are you flossing?
And then they act surprised every time, and I'm just like,
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Yeah.
Just don't even try.
Do you know I became obsessed with flossing?
Really? Did you really?
So like when I went to the dentist, they was like, it's like, you need to be flossing more. And I'd be like, it's not something that I think about. Like, obviously I brush my teeth and I brush my teeth like twice a day because I brush them in the morning. And then when I shower at night, while I'm in the shower, I brush them again. So like flossing just never was a thing. And I had the greatest idea. She goes, you know what you do? You go get you a pack of flossers and you put them on like your counter.
Yeah.
Like where you can see them. Mm-hmm. So like I put them in my living room counter. And every time I would walk past and see it, it would make, oh, let me get a flosser.
I thought you meant the bathroom.
No, you're saying
you put it in the kitchen.
Put it where you're going to be at. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So when you walk past it, you'll see it and be like, oh, yeah, let me floss. And it made me fall in love with flossing my teeth.
Now, that's a really ingenious idea.
It was.
So you floss now all the time?
Yeah. I got to go to the store and get another pack of flosses because I ran out.
See, I'm like Dylan. I've had the same pack of flossers, I think, since 1997 when they came out. I've moved flossers. I've never finished a pack of those. It's always like good intentions.
Put them in your living room on the counter or in the kitchen on the counter and see what happens. You're going to be like, give me one of those. Things.
I know what's going to happen is all my children will have those things sticking out of like their ears and their nose and they will not be used for floss. The dog will have them. But that's a good idea, actually. I never thought of that.
You look at your flossers and say,
pack you up, son.
Yeah, I try to. I take them with me everywhere I go. I never use them, but they come with us.
I can't believe you packed them. That's crazy.
I probably didn't. I don't know. I just honestly don't think about them that much. And then I see them and go, oh, yeah, I bought those. That was only, what, a year or two ago? And then I remember, no, that was before the pandemic is when I bought those things. That's my new move now is when I'm like, did that happen before or after the pandemic? That's as specific as I get now on timelines. It's like,
BC.
I think that was,
yeah. You said BC before COVID.
That's the new thing. Got to change it. All right. So media days going on for the SEC. They got to Ole Miss yesterday. I don't know if they're going alphabetically or how that all works, but whatever. Pete Golding, the new head coach at Ole Miss, you'll remember Lane Kiffin was there last year, left right as his team was going to the playoffs, and then some of the coaches stayed, some of them left. Pete Golding stayed. Now he runs the team. He had an interesting thought because are you aware of the controversy going on between them and Clemson? Dabo Swinney has accused Ole Miss of tampering and talking to guys when they shouldn't have in the portal and all that stuff.
I remember Dabo saying that. I didn't remember it was Ole Miss.
Though. Ole Miss is who he, I believe, had strongly hinted at or maybe even named in that. Right. Anyway, Pete Golding was talking about the transfer portal and some of that stuff. And I thought his comments were fairly honest and fairly interesting. You tell me what you think. Here's what he said.
Let me put it to you this way, okay? Like, it'd be, so obviously you're a reporter, right? Would you quit your job before interviewing for another job or being offered another job? No, nobody would. But right, but we have a portal that you can go in with a do not contact. I'm going to quit my job where I'm getting paid, and I'm going to go in saying I need a new job, but nobody can call me to interview. Like, what have we created? So we've created it on top of representation for these players, right? That it's their responsibility to make sure they get paid really well and they also have opportunities. So by design, it's put a lot of people in bad positions. And let's not act like recruiting in college football for the last 100 years is the most moral thing, right, that's ever been existed. I mean, like, what are we talking about here?
Okay. So I don't know how you guys read that.
Why does he talk like he's like the pastor of a small Mississippi church with a congregation size of about 90 people?
He does have a little bit of that cadence of, well, first of all right, like he does there's a I see where you're going with that. Totally. I think that's a good call. But no, I read that comment as him basically saying, hey, you can accuse me of cheating or contacting players when I shouldn't have, but like, what logic does it make that a guy can enter the portal and have a do not contact on him? Well, then that indicates tampering, essentially, right? Because if a guy is able to go into the portal and say, you don't even have to talk to me, I already know where I'm going.
That somebody didn't talk to you before.
Yes. Yes. So there's, and he's also pointing out that most guys don't enter the portal unless they think they've got a landing spot.
Correct.
There's probably some guys who do. Thousands of guys in the portal.
Probably an agent or somebody that's done some behind the scenes work.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, right,
I talked to such and such. Just think, if he's thinking about getting in the portal, you know, would you be interested in him? That type of thing.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty from Pete Golding, but I also feel a little bit like all these coaches seem to be doing it the same way, where they're like, hey, I want to tell you, I think Amazon is bad. It exploits its workers. I don't like that there's like all this forced labor going on. These people are working in warehouses with no air conditioning for 14 hours, peeing in water bottles. Now, that all said, my Amazon order's coming tomorrow, and I did use the Prime, and I'm trying to get it. Like, everybody's like, I know this system sucks, but I also use it because what else am I going to do? This system is kind of everything. And that's, we all do that in our, at least I do. I'm not thrilled with like child labor in China, but I get a TV for $200 somehow, and I don't think about that connection. Mm-hmm. He's saying essentially, yeah, I know this portal stuff and that can be a little murky and bad, but college football recruiting's been this way. What do you expect me to do? Not contact guys when they have a do not contact? I'm not going to listen to that. Like, that's how I read what his comments were, more or less saying, the rules are there, but none of us are abiding by them, so why should I have to abide by them?
Unfortunately, I don't really take a lot of things he says because he's currently cheating the system anyway. His quarterback should be ineligible to play, but because he's got an injunction, all of a sudden he can play, and he's technically, and I'm sure that it's going to come out and, oh, no, he should have been deemed ineligible whenever that decides to hit court. Right. But, oh, it's too late. He's went ahead and played college, and now he's going pro, so it doesn't matter. So he's cheating anyway.
But that's what his and kind of what he's saying more or less is, yeah, I may be dirty, but everybody else is too. So why are you singling me out, or why are you pointing at my program if I do some things that are maybe not fully? And then he later in his comments, he did a thing where he's like, by the way, we have a great compliance department, and they probably don't like some of what I'm saying. So I just want to say, we listen to compliance. We do a compliance test. He had to cover his tracks a little bit because I don't know if you're aware of Ole Miss's recent college football coaching history. They had a problem with guys saying, if you think we're cheating, call our number. And then everyone in society was like, bet. And that guy lost his job.
Was it Hugh Freeze?
Yeah. Hugh Freeze with
the number one.
Wasn't it Laramie Tunsil? No.
Yeah.
Was it, or it was either the Laramie Tunsil or
he had Laramie Tunsil.
Robert Kendiche. That was the guy. And his brother.
And had Laquan Treadwell. Yes. Out of nowhere, they had the number one recruit class. I was like, oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was in like 2014 or 20, no, probably like 2013 or something like that. They had like
this their athletic director
class
back then. I'm trying to think.
Oh, you know who it was.
Who was it?
You know who it was.
I have to look into who that guy was. I don't know. Probably went on to do other things. Anyway, so yeah, I appreciate the candor, though, from these SEC coaches. I'm glad he said that because it shows a light on what it is actually going on. All these guys want to talk about the rules and all that stuff. None of them want to follow it. And at least he has the honesty to say, yeah, I'm probably not following him either, but none of these guys up here are, so it's probably fair. I know a lot of Clemson fans were not happy with him yesterday, but I appreciated it. A lot of you apparently are watching the soccer. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at a 7-minute delay right now for drivers traveling towards New Albany. That's because of a disabled vehicle, 161 eastbound, just passing Hamilton Road. That area, the backup's now extending towards Little Turtle Way. And as we can see with our map, we also have some major slowdowns, 27 miles per hour for your speeds. Lots of backups. Just notice on our live traffic cam, folks, just get off 161 and take East Dublin Granville Road. You will thank me later. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
favorite outcome. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, I know a lot of you are worried about the Buckeyes missing out on, what's his name? David Gabriel George.
They say to never trust a guy with two first names. Well, I'm not trusting a guy with three.
Three? Really added a whole bunch there with DGG, as I saw the recruiting boards had called him. But yeah, he chose Tennessee, as was sadly kind of expected. That was the news that came down, and we kind of thought that would happen. But look. That's a big loss for Ryan Day and this Buckeye, you know, recruiting staff. Obviously, they put a lot in. I know Carlos Lachlan, running backs coach, that was their main target. To the fact that I don't think they have another running back on the docket for 2027 as of right now. There's guys who are probably still in the, you know, pool of interest, all that stuff. But like I said yesterday, I'll continue to say it. I feel like we're at a point where you just need to say, yeah, the Buckeye, he's not playing for the Buckeyes, .. yet. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm not saying it's not a big loss. I get it. But high school recruiting to me is different. So it's not the same as it used to be. I'll put it that way. I feel like now, I said this yesterday, you get to go to the awesome running back store again in January. So if you need a running back next year, you can still go recruit one this cycle, or you can go wait for whoever pops off this year and go offer him in the portal and see if he'll transfer.
Bo Jackson still has another year of eligibility.
After this year,
he's going to ask for another raise that the Buckeyes don't want to give him.
That's the thing, man. I mean, apparently the Buckeyes offered this kid $1 million. He from Tennessee, the rumors are he's getting $2 million. He's getting flight arrangements for his family to join him, you know, to come to all the games. He wanted to get a certain number. Like there is a point where I do understand where Ohio State can say, hey, we want to give you as much as possible, but we're also not going to give you like the entire thing. We're not going to just, as an incoming freshman, say, here's everything you want. There's a level of buy-in that probably has to happen, too. And I respect Ohio State for sticking to their guns. Now, if they continue to miss out on big-time recruits like that, that's not great. You want Ohio State to win recruiting battles, high school, transfer portal, on the field, off the field. You want to win at everything. I'm not denying that, Tyvus. But, like, how devastated were you by the news that DGG is not coming to Ohio State?
I told you yesterday he wasn't coming to Ohio State. I literally said he's picking Tennessee over Ohio State. So let's just move on with that. That means absolutely nothing to me. These is some of the things that it's not a problem until it's a problem. You know, you look at your roster right now, and I think Dylan's correct. You know, you look, you got two running backs. You got Bo Jackson, Isaiah West, and then after that, you got Legend Bay, who's supposed to be special as well. So it's not a problem until it is. You know, obviously, you look at Ohio State and the success that they had, you want to have that 1-2 punch. You know, I think that's becoming the new thing. I want to have two guys that I can depend on. One guy for power, one guy for speed, right? Well, when it's comes the time where Bo Jackson and Isaiah West both leave, you still got Legend Bay. You'll need that power back. Yeah. And I think due to the fact that, one, this is Ohio State, when you go to the transfer portal like you suggest, there's guys that want to come here. I think that The thing that I think Ohio State is falling a little victim to is over recent bias, we've become more of a 7-on-7-ish team where we like to throw the ball. You know, you think about CJ and the guys, you think of Marvin Harrison and all those guys. We threw the ball a lot. You know, I know we wanted to have a balanced approach, and I know Ryan Day always wants to have a balanced approach. The one time that they actually did have that, they won a national championship. So I think that running backs in high school are thinking to themselves, well, they're going to throw the ball. Like, am I really going to get the touches that I want? I'm not, you know, they're not running the ball as much. I think Arthur Smith's new offense has to show people, like, yeah, that's our new thing. We're running the ball more. We're going to be more successful. And you need Coach Locke to continue to coach these guys up and maybe get some, maybe get one of those guys in the first round. And maybe that entices the future high school running backs to be like, oh yeah, Ohio State, you can go for passing and they run the ball and I could be a first round pick there as well. So, I think those are things that will probably help themselves out in the future. But I think now, right now, high school kids have to see it.
Yeah.
You have to see that, because even with Quinshon and Travion, as great as they were, you know, what Tennessee can say is, well, we had our guy lead the SEC. Dylan Sampson led the SEC and was like, I wanted probably the running back of the year for them or something like that when he was here a couple of years ago. So off of recency bias, it is what it is. And I think the kid is from Tennessee.
He's from Canada, but I think he plays his high school football in Tennessee. I thought I saw something that he was originally from Canada. But yeah,
he's from Canada?
I thought I saw something like that.
Dylan's boy.
Drake?
Drake.
Oh, yeah, your guy.
666.
By the way, Dylan, you said we have a voicemail come in, 614-460-8010, that you wanted to play. What do you have?
Hello, this is Connor from Massillon, Ohio. Hey, I love you guys' show, and I was just thinking, I'm only 19, and I would love if you guys would go back over some of the 90s Buckeye football teams and talk about them some. That would be awesome. And, yeah, I just don't know much about the history of it all, and knew they had some good teams back then, but, yep. Thanks a lot for the show and everything.
Appreciate it, Connor. That's good. So that's interesting.
Is it true that Orlando Pace never beat the Wolverines?
I think we looked this up.
I'd have
before.
To double check that. I feel like they're made.
I think was he a part of the tie?
I feel like that's what
did
we looked
get
up. And
gold
I,
pants for that?
No, they better not have gold pants for that.
You better not have got the pants.
I was just curious.
He was there from 94 to 96, so there's a good chance. Maybe in 96 they. I cannot remember which year it was that they did that. God, that's so bad that I'm blanking on if they beat Michigan or something. They may not have, but yeah, we can do a little bit of that. We're actually going to in a few minutes for the list today. The list is best teams to never win a championship.
Ohio State in 96.
Well, this is inspired by the voicemail. Well, that could be one of them, right? We could do some Ohio State talk, sure, but this was inspired by the 95, you know, Cleveland Indians / now Guardians back in 95. Like, we went through that list yesterday and how, like, their roster was just stacked and how we had a caller say they could come into baseball now and win a bunch of games, beat a lot of these teams. Dylan correctly pointed out they didn't win a World Series when they were playing during their era. They ran into the Braves that year in 95, who had a ridiculous pitching staff. But yeah, all right, that we can have those discussions a little bit coming up at the top of the hour with the list. There'll be some Buckeye talk in there for sure. I've got a few that are not Buckeyes to bring up as well. Also, this number that I saw for the World Cup viewership, pretty impressive. Did you see these numbers?
I did. So guess Fox, how I seen them.
How'd you see them?
Following you on Twitter.
Well, I've been tweeting a lot of soccer stuff out. That's sorry for those of you who don't follow me for soccer stuff, but I like soccer and I really love this World Cup. I was glad the U.S. got to host part of it. It was 38.8 million people, almost 40 million people watched the World Cup on Fox. Couple that with 26 million people on Telemundo. So just about 65 million people watched the World Cup. Final. This was the Spain-Argentina game, which, by the way, was not a great game as far as well played. So it was a very intense game because there was a lot of drama to it.
It was a great game for Spain.
Well, it was a game though that Argentina basically said, we're not even going to try to score and we're going to fight everyone. And it was just, it was not playing soccer. It was not two teams openly like scoring goals back and forth. It was very defensive minded. Mm. A lot of people say they don't like that about soccer.
Oh,
what I'm saying is, this was not a free-flowing game, and it still got 66 million people in the U.S. to watch this game. That is the largest broadcast of any soccer game, I believe, in the history of the United States.
Would it have been more if it was the U.S. in the championship?
Tyvus, if it was the U.S. in the championship, it might have done Super Bowl numbers. The only thing that topped this game and tops this number, 60-plus million people, the only thing that's more than 60-plus million is the Super Bowl every year. The Oscars don't do that. No other sporting event does that. The only thing that comes close is NFC and AFC championship games. Those are both usually in the 40 to 60 million range, depending on the teams that are involved. Mm-hmm. So this game between not the U.S. and not the U.S. did better than NFL, AFC, NFC championship games. That's significant, however you slice it. Does it mean soccer's going to now take over and be the number one sport of the U.S.? No. I know that's probably not the case.
It will when they get some better coaching in the U.S.
Maybe that's it. That's
the biggest complaint. Is that
you're talking about the youth levels.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even the coaching. It's just, it's like when you find the talent, it's making sure that talent gets promoted and pushed all the way through. That's kind of the issue there. But yeah, very cool stuff to see that everybody got behind that World Cup and got into it. So I'm glad that happened.
Real quick, Orlando Pace. They beat Michigan in 94, and then they lost back-to-back, 95-96. Yeah. So he's 1-2 against
them. Those were some really great teams.
So he did win one. Okay.
And he started as a true freshman, so it's okay. Not like he was just...
Yeah. No. He was, trust me. He was a phenomenon from day one. The list is coming up next. Best teams to never win a championship. We'll do that when we get back. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching a disabled vehicle by the Worthington area. It's that southbound direction 71, just passing 270. And right as you're getting towards State Route 161, that right shoulder is blocked out there. So a heads up, at least some better news for our drivers near Grove City. We had a crash that finally cleared up by that 270 and 71 interchange. I'm 10 TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Seattle Mariners 5-3 yesterday. Sal Stewart hit a three-run home run in the seventh that put the Reds up for good. The Reds will have the day off today before starting a series in St. Louis tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Guardians had a two-game win streak snapped when they lost to the Minnesota Twins 10-6 yesterday. However, some good news for Guards fans is we saw the return of Jose Ramirez in last night's contest. He went 2-for-5 after coming back from left-hand surgery. And lastly, Ohio State lost out on big target in recruiting yesterday as five-star running back David Gabriel George is committed to the Tennessee Volunteers over the Buckeyes. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy it today for cash. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Saw something that was a little disturbing this morning when I got up, other than what I usually see, which is just me in the mirror. And that is some level of disturbing. Now, I saw a story, you know, because I love the AI. The AI is great. It's going to take over our lives. We're not going to have jobs, any of us. The AI is just going to do everything. Saw that the OpenAI people, the people who make ChatGPT2, I believe, that's their thing. They are always trying to find the newest and greatest ChatGPT AI bot to do all the work, right? Mm-hmm. Had a little problem this week because apparently they were training an AI bot program to like hack some kind of software they gave it. They said, hack this software. I guess they're using it to test things to see what it can do. So they gave it a bunch of tasks to do. The AI was in a supposedly, I don't even know how this works in a computer landscape, but it said they had it in basically like a It was not connected to the internet. It was in its own little computer that was not connected to the internet. Well, somehow the AI figured out a workaround, got onto the internet by itself, and then hacked another website to get the answers to the problems that these engineers had given the artificial intelligence to do. That sounds like something right out of a sci-fi thing, but apparently these two companies now are working together to figure out how that happened, how it could be avoided from happening again. But basically, they didn't tell the artificial intelligence. They told it to hack this little thing they gave it, like play this game, essentially. And the AI, rather than playing the game, walked over and robbed the bank, is basically what it did. And that's terrifying to me, that they're like, oh, we didn't expect it to do that. Yeah, I bet.
This is
this is where we're at, buddy.
This is exactly where life is going. They're going to take over, huh? Mm-hmm. They're going to take over. You've seen so many episodes. It was a Rick and Morty episode where all the dogs took over.
That's a good one.
And they was,
that's a great one, actually.
It was nice to Morty because Morty took care of him all the time. Yeah. So he didn't have no beef with Morty, but everybody else.
Right, yes. Yeah. And that's where I feel like we're, I mean, we've seen this so many times. We've watched, literally, Terminator is built around, the whole Terminator series is built around the computers taking over and doing what they want.
Yeah, I was watching that as a kid, I didn't realize that was like, it wasn't a prediction, it was a spoiler.
Well, what's crazy is you have all these people who are super smart who are like, yeah, so anyway, Terminator's a great movie. That'll never happen to us, though. We're too smart for that. Now, let's build exactly what they built in Terminator. Let's do it exactly the way they did, and then be shocked when the thing from Terminator ends up happening. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a time-traveling, you know, robot that can come and save us, but please, I hope there is, because we're going to need it if this continues to go the way it is.
The best, the worst, and sometimes even the dumbest. It's all here on The List.
Sponsored by Baths R Us. Go to BathsRUs.com to schedule your free estimate. Baths R Us, where dreams soak in.
All right, List today, best teams to never win a championship. Tybus, where do you want to start?
You know where I'm starting.
I kind of
think. You want to take a glance first in the mirror?
I mean, listen. That Buckeye team of 2015, you know, it just had a lot of talent there. One of their best players was this guy that plays safety, number 23.
Mm, I've heard of him.
Yeah, he might have missed the tackle the other day when we showed it. But that, you know, that was obviously, when you watch the video, you clearly, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
He deserved to go back-to-back.
Yeah.
I think that whole team deserved to go back-to-back.
I would have loved to have seen it as a Buckeye fan who was very frustrated that did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's you know, hey, I have a few Buckeye teams on my list, too. I have we had the caller who was asking about some of the lore and the history about the 2006. I just realized that kid that called, Connor, said he was 19.
Yeah.
2006 is before him.
Yeah. He was asking about the 90s teams, yeah, but the 2006 teams before him as well.
2006 Ohio State team with Troy Smith, Ted Ginn Jr., James Laurinaitis, Malcolm Jenkins. Game of the century versus Michigan. When Ohio State won that game, I said, there we go. 1-2. That was one of the greatest football games I've ever seen. I was so excited when they won. It didn't matter who you put in front of us. I didn't think Ohio State was losing to anybody.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn Jr. takes the opening kick to the house, and it was like, yeah, this is just going to be a coronation.
That's exactly what everybody thought.
Everyone thought that.
It's over.
And then
he got hurt.
To get the obvious non-Buckeye ones out of the way, the 07 Patriots the 2016 Golden State Warriors.
I had those two on my list.
07 Patriots, man. That was the year,
that's
right?
That's the biggest one to me.
That's the one where they went 19-1.
Yeah.
Nobody even talked about it.
That was Randy Moss and Tom Brady combining, I think, for what felt like 80 touchdowns. I don't know what the actual number was, but
I think he caught 20 that year.
Yeah, and didn't Brady throw for like 50 legitimately?
Something like that.
I think he threw for 50 touchdowns in that season. I mean, they were unstoppable.
It's unbelievable that nobody talk about that.
Because they didn't win. It's also crazy. It's wild to me that the Dolphins, the 72 Dolphins that still hold themselves as like the only undefeated team in the league.
And have a drink every time
you played like 14 games and two playoff games. You didn't even play a full like NFL. You know, I don't think they even played 17 games.
I think they played 14 in the regular season.
Yeah, and they probably played 3 in the playoffs. I'm saying
Randy Moss was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. He had 98 catches for 1493 with 23 touchdowns.
Yeah. It's a good year for a 30-year-old wide receiver. That's why he's a legend. But
first team all pro.
That team won.
Came second in offensive player of the year.
That was high in the hierarchy of Patriots cheating years. Like, that was right around the time.
Oh, that's when. I'm saying that's the peak of their defense being at its best, being at its best, and their cheating being at the best. Right. Holy trilogy.
That's probably why we don't talk about that one as much also. But what is wild to me is that the Dolphins get to claim the undefeated season when they didn't play nearly as many games. The Patriots won more games in a row than that Dolphins team did, but they lost the one that counts. You lost the Super Bowl. I mean, they all count, but like, you're right. We don't talk about that one nearly enough.
Brady had 50 touchdowns, 4,800 yards, 50 touchdowns.
I will bring up a couple of... I found myself bringing up some Seattle teams out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up as a kid, I used to love watching the Seattle Sonics. That was the team I rooted for. When they come back, I will be a Sonics fan. I make no bones about that. Sorry, Cavs fans. I didn't grow up watching the Cavs. I rooted from them from afar, but growing up here, we didn't have an NBA team, so I kind of got
the
to
league
pick.
Did check off on that, right? Seattle and Vegas.
I don't think they've officially said it, but it has to be happening. They're waiting for LeBron to figure out where he's going, and then they're gonna. Yeah, sure. Anyway, the Sonics from 95-96. There's actually two Sonics teams I want to bring up. 95-96. They went 64-18. That was Gary Payton winning Defensive Player of the Year. Sean Kemp, the Rain Man. Detlef Schrempf, I believe Kendall Gill was on that team. Hersey Hawkins was on that team. They reached the NBA Finals. They lost in six to the 72-win Chicago Bulls. A historic team in their own right, clearly. But if you're not playing the 72-win Chicago Bulls, Sonics probably win the title that year. Anybody else, they probably would have run through. But that
this
Bulls
is when
team,
they went to the finals.
They went to the finals.
This is where Gary Payton said he slowed Mike down, and Mike looked at the iPad like,
"Yeah, that's me? Right." Yeah. Gary's still on that. He's still like, he can look all he wants. I did it. Go look at the numbers. I slowed him down. He's not wrong. He was not bad in that series. It's just they just had too much firepower. But another team from Seattle, I would give up the 2001 Mariners. Won 116 games. That was with, I believe it was like the first season they had Ichiro there too. But Ichiro.
All Indians teams in the 90s.
Yeah.
Every single one of them?
Every last one of them.
I mean, that 95 team you could definitely throw in there. But you know what's odd about that 2001 Mariners team?
The Cavs team when LeBron lost to the Magic in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Nah. LeBron's carrying bums. They can't be a part of this list.
Oh, no, they didn't have Shaq.
Yeah. Shaq was a bum when he was in Cleveland.
The next year.
Okay.
That, I will say on that 2001 Mariners team, I had in my brain, and I should know better because I know who, 2001, that was when the Diamondbacks won the World Series.
Yes. Right? I'll be reminded.
Yeah. Beat your Yankees. But who, in my brain, when I hear 116, when I think of the 116-win Mariners team, in my head, it's like, well, that had to be Randy Johnson. But no, Randy Johnson was hitting birds out in Arizona.
Yeah.
That was when he was with the Diamondbacks, when they won the World Series.
Yes. But, I think an honorable mention needs to be the 94-95 Bulls. You know?
Oh, well.
That's everybody, including God, Michael Jordan. They lost to the Orlando Magic in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Famously did.
Even though people want to erase that from history, it happened.
I'm going to say that West Virginia in 2007 with Pat White and Steve Slayton.
Oh, that's a good
one. That one hurt my heart because they lost the Pitt of all players.
At the end
of the year, they would have won that one.
That was then, peak Big East football, by the way.
And then Boise State in 2006, when they hit the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, man.
They beat Oklahoma, but the reason that they didn't go to the championship is because people didn't feel like they would be good enough to compete in the national championship.
Were they undefeated that year?
They were undefeated. Finished the season 13-0. They beat Oklahoma with the Statue of Liberty.
You know what?
Fiesta Bowl.
Well, I remember they won that game. I didn't remember if they had a game previously that like tripped them up or something.
No, so they were just undefeated.
That was just in the era where you're like, we don't care if you're
computer
undefeated.
It was the computer rankings. Yeah. They said that they didn't think that their number wasn't high enough to.
That's a team.
They would have played either us or Florida, right?
Probably. Yeah, that would make sense. But I tell you what, that's a team that now in the playoffs, I don't know what they would have done, but I would have loved to see it. At least settle it on the field.
I'm sure they appreciate you bringing them up. they're getting dog walked by Ohio State or Florida.
I mean, I'm sorry. I thought they'd get dog walked by Oklahoma and they won.
Yeah, that's true.
Was it Kellen Moore that did the Statue of Liberty?
No, it was Jarrett Sabransky.
Oh, so Kellen Moore would have been after that. I remember after the Statue of Liberty, the running back proposed to the cheerleader. Sure did.
And yes, I think they're still together. I saw something about them where they're like, they keep going back to them every so often saying like, well, it's been 10 years. It's been 15 years. It's been, you know, I think we're probably coming up. What year was that?
2006. 2000.
We're on like,
yeah,
that was the 2006 season. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of that game.
That's gross.
They proposed. To be fair, the game was played in January of 2007, but it was the 2006 season.
Yeah, gotcha. But I'm saying, so like, this will be the 20th anniversary of that season. Correct. And then that game will be in January. Dude, I'll tell you right now.
That was 20 years
if
ago.
Don't bring that up. Don't bring up what year that was. I don't want to know that was 20 years ago. That game very vividly. I don't want to remember that. Oh,
yeah.
That sucks. Mm. Okay. What has taken LeBron so long to make up his mind what he's going to do? Well, we'll give you the latest on that coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, good Thursday morning to you. And a new crash just reported into our newsroom. It's happening on the west side of Columbus. For those drivers that are heading into downtown right now, do know that 70 eastbound direction is really slow near Wilson Road. That's a crash. Two right lanes are blocking a lot of people this morning. 4 miles per hour, we're talking, when it comes to your speeds out there. Not the best route if you're heading out this morning. Definitely take West Broad Street to head towards a downtown scene instead. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hard to beat weather like this morning, as we'll have a mainly clear sky and comfortably cool temperatures, more like September than late July. For the afternoon, mostly sunny skies, still low humidity, highs reach the upper 70s. Partly sunny skies to finish off the work week tomorrow, a little bit warmer but still nice, lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
Saw this from Shizzy88 in the chat. YouTube chat. Go to YouTube, 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus. You'll be right there with him and others. Shizzy said, fun fact about the 72 Dolphins. They were undefeated and had to play the AFC Championship game on the road in Pittsburgh. In those days, the conference championship games were on some weird rotation. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Imagine being, you're undefeated. Does that mean they just picked it as like a neutral site? And because they played the Steelers in that AFC Championship game. So does that just mean it was the neutral site and that happened to be where? That's bizarre. There has to be some other reason.
I mean, if that's the Super Bowl was home advantage to Tampa Bay when they won with Brady.
Well, that's a Super Bowl, though. This is an AFC Championship game. I'm just surprised the NFL didn't have a rule that said, yeah, you get to host everything up to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Even back then, the Super Bowl in 72, when did the Super Bowl start? Was that 63?
Somewhere around
there. Yeah, I'm saying like, we're talking, they were on like Super Bowl 10 or 11 or 12, whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like now where it's become this gigantic thing. Even though I'm sure it was big back then, it was still fairly new. Who won? I can understand if they had said the opposite way of like, oh, every Super Bowl, we just go to like the team with the better record. That's where the Super Bowl is. The fact that they already had the neutral site thing planned out, and apparently they were doing that for the AFC Championship game, that's bizarre.
It probably was going with who had the best stadium at the time.
Maybe
like
that's
in the AFC and the NFC, like whatever stadium team had the best, or excuse me, whatever team had the best stadium, not like the two that's going at it, but like of the conference.
All right.
That's the one we're going to use.
According to the internet,
let's find out.
They rotated home field advantage based off of division.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Yes.
Oh, God. I want to.
So it just rotated every year from East, Central, and West.
Okay. That's so you have a historically great Dolphins team.
Off doing what I just said.
They had to go on the road because it was like, well, it's the whatever that would have been. It was just AFC, what, East and West back then?
And Central.
Oh, they had three back then. I didn't know if they had three yet or just the two.
So the AFC Central was champion, was scheduled to host the AFC Championship game that year.
That is insane to me. That's wild. Well, the Dolphins won that. They won Super Bowl II. It didn't matter, but that's just what a bizarre little anecdote from history. That's, crazy stuff. The stuff you find out from how things were done back in the day. Also crazy to me that LeBron James has not picked a team yet. I mean, I'm not necessarily mad about it because I'm not resting on this decision like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I got to know where I got to pack my stuff up and move to. Well, I need to know.
That's you, Dylan. You have to, your virtual identity.
Yes.
Your online identity has to know what your avatar will look like. What if you have to buy a jersey, like if it goes to Philly or to Golden State.
Yeah, the LeBron fans want to know if an old jersey from the closet is going to work or if they're going to have to buy a new one.
Pack you up, son.
Yeah. Just let's get it figured out one way or the other. Just I'm kind of annoyed that every day it's like LeBron watch. It's like maybe for you, not for me. I'm just kind of ready to get the announcement whenever that happens. But
I've silenced all notifications on my phone except for Shams. That's it. It's the only one. Well, that's the only ones I'm getting.
That explains the show prep then the last few days. No, but I honestly at this point, I'm like, Tyvus, I tend to think about life as how would I do it? You know what I mean?
He should commit to the Heat on Monday. So that way, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me.
Today's Thursday.
What day did they have that he was going to have his introductory press conference?
Didn't they say it was the 27th? So that would probably be Sunday or Monday, right?
So he need to do it the day before so they can go ahead and run with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, have that all set up because that was the.
Get that dude job back because I think he got fired.
I saw that they were advertising a director of like YouTube and social media, and it's like, that may have happened because you're leaking that information out. But no, ultimately, if I were LeBron, and this is how I think about life, is like, what would I do if I were in that situation? Which is dumb because LeBron is different than me. LeBron has been in, 25, 30 years of being told he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that might get to your ego a little bit.
Dylan glazing him.
Sure, everybody glazing him.
No. No.
Dylan specifically. Dylan, it's your fault. But what I would do is you tell me if this makes sense, is I would, if I know I'm leaving the Lakers, I would have already picked where I want to go. I would have had my agent discreetly reach out to them, and I would have said, hey, I would have told Rich Paul, I don't care what they offer. I don't want to do this because of money. I'm doing this because of legacy or a chance to play with some different players or whatever the case is. Go. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about anybody getting in the second apron or any of that crap. Just get me to where I go so I can do this announcement sooner than later. Like, I'll draw it out for a couple weeks. I'll get some attention. But, like, I would think he'd already want to go. The latest from Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo Sports is that he's waiting to see if a team will pick up Anthony Davis or Kyrie Irving to help. What are we talking about? That cannot be real, right? That can't be real.
No, I think that everybody.
That's got to be BS.
Just fishing. I think Channon Frye had the most reasonable take when it came to LeBron. And I think it made me look at the whole thing differently.
Okay.
Is that this is the only time in LeBron's career where he has not, like, demanded, like, the roster change. He is truly trying to let things play out. He want to see what the teams do by themselves, and then he's looking at it as, all right, I'm going to just go in and be a final piece. So LeBron is off golfing and enjoying his summer because he never gets a chance to enjoy his summer. And since he's playing for such a vet, for the vet minimum, you know, for the first time in his career, he's like, I'm going to just go in there. I'm going to look and see what roster I want to go to, and then boom, I'm going to exert myself there, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I just
so
wonder.
Why is it that? Why? So everybody's on hold for nothing. You should go ahead and just build your team up how you going to build it. And it's not costing you anything to get him anyways because he's signing a vet minimum. So just boom, insert him in for the vet minimum. And there you go.
But okay, to play devil's advocate to that, if I'm one of the teams who is like, because you know they're not just thinking about on the court stuff. They're thinking about if LeBron James comes here, that's more games on national TV or whatever you want to call that nowadays because everything's on 18
Does
different
that
packages.
Have to do with anything
if LeBron's playing for them, they're getting more games. They're getting on Christmas Day. They're getting on different games than they might if they don't have LeBron. I don't know that the Cavs are getting the same type of games.
That's some Adam Silver stuff that you're talking about.
Right. But that's like, you don't think the boardrooms factor that in at these NBA teams? That like, we want to get as much exposure as possible. We want to sell a bunch of jerseys with our new jersey having LeBron's name on it in number. That's going to be a massive deal. Their social media, like, they care about all these metrics.
But so, why should LeBron give a damn about anything that you just said?
I'm not saying LeBron does, but I'm saying
he clearly doesn't.
Tyvus's point is that, if I understood you right, is that these teams should just do whatever they want and forget about LeBron because he'll just show up whenever he wants to show up. And I'm saying they're strategizing, saying, well, we want to make sure our team is in the best position to win, but also take advantage of that. So they're trying to woo him because not only do they want to have him on the court, it's because it's good for the box office. It's good for the bottom line. It makes them more money.
Okay, well,
when
he decides to make that decision, you handle it. You cross their bridge.
I just cannot believe the decision has not already been made.
Clearly not.
Well, I don't know. Clearly not. That's
there's
one
no
report.
NBA team that said, "Oh yeah, he's 100%." You think? First of all,
Why would he do this?
Leaked that SGA won the MVP after Amazon Prime or whoever. After Amazon bought it and like said that they was gonna have a
they're
big
gonna do
announcement,
their announcement. Yeah,
and he still. You don't think if he knew where LeBron was, he wouldn't have been to say something.
I didn't say anybody else knows. I'm saying putting myself in LeBron's shoes. If I'm doing this seismic move to leave LA, and this is probably gonna be my last stop, right? This is probably where I'm gonna retire.
He said he could average 10 till 65.
Okay. Whatever. I feel like there's a solid chance this is his last stop. And if I'm him, I think long and hard about that before any of this news comes out with LA that I'm not going to be back. I would have already said, yeah, my preferred landing. I would have already told my agent, like, this is how I want it to go. This is where I want to be. And I don't care what you have to do to make that happen. Make it happen. Instead of sitting around. I can't believe these reports that say he doesn't know where he wants to go, but maybe he doesn't. And that is bizarre to me. If so, I don't know how you wouldn't know.
He knows.
Okay, so now what are we waiting for? Just get it over with. I don't get it. I really don't. But to each his own, man. LeBron likes to be the center of attention. He's getting it. We gave him a segment now. We'll switch gears, though. We heard a little bit of honesty from a college football head coach. We also heard a little college football head coach yelling at a reporter. You will hear that coming up in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on a Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
About a 7-minute delay for drivers heading up towards New Albany. That's because of a new incident in the area. We are now seeing a crash, folks. 161 eastbound at Hamilton Road. We had two right lanes that are currently closed right now. Before, we had a disabled vehicle that already caused some backups, and now that's extending 17 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds of backups. Now passing Little Turtle Way, heading towards the 270 and 161 interchange. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Built right. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Call T-Bone and Tyvus's real hotline phone number. 614-460-8010. Available anytime, day or night. Nighttime can get spicy.
Are you serious? Oh my God!
Leave a message, and if it's great, we'll play it. And if it's terrible,
hello?
We'll likely play it too.
Hello.
I'm looking forward to the spicy messages, honestly.
Is there going to be a time during the football season that they're going to cuss Ryan?
Oh, I'm sure they are.
One of the players out.
Well, Dylan's living a charmed life right now because he's playing audio usually as it comes in. He's just like, all right, let's just hit play. You're going to have to edit some of these, Dylan, because we are going to get some that they're going to get. Oh, you just wait till Ohio State. And I'm not, by the way, I'm with you. I'm lunatic fringe as it gets. If Ohio State goes out and plays a crap team to a barely win, yeah, I'm going to be pissed about that. I don't care what has happened here. I will still, my lunatic fringe bona fides are not in doubt. I'm still fully in the fringe, okay? So we'll play those if people are mad. We'll play if you're happy. We'll play if you're mad at the lunatic fringe for being too mad. We'll play all that stuff, sure. Football season, save the number now, 614-460-8010. Save the number in your phone. You'll have it for, I don't know. You want to rant about the Browns' first preseason game. Why is Dylan Gabriel getting minutes to throw the ball. Who cares? Why is he getting reps?
Cadet Coco wants to know, will you miss LeBron when he retires?
Me? I'll cry.
I told him.
I'll take a day off or two.
I'll be more sad when Kyrie is done.
Okay. That's all right. Well, to each their own, Tyvus. That's fine. No, I'll be very sad when LeBron retires.
I'm taking bereavement.
Okay, that's a little.
That's what I'm
that's
doing.
That's a little too far. That's
he blazes the guy.
You do a bit.
I'm going to need to be on the watch.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Yes.
What about when Arch Manning is done?
Who knows if I'll even be alive. Yeah, by the time
Arch Manning, because he's got a 25-year career ahead of him. Does. I forgot. That's right. Sure. I believe that. Yeah, I just look, ultimately, the way I think all this goes down with LeBron, whatever the case is, I will miss him when he is retired. I am trying to remind myself that when like Kobe retired, after that happened, people said, oh man, I wish Kobe was still here. And then obviously he passed away, which was horrible and tragic, but like, you just don't know how long a player is going to be playing their sport. But I was doing this with Lionel Messi when I'm watching the World Cup. I'm like, I don't know how many more times I'm going to see this dude in a big game like that.
But LeBron James will still be playing.
What do you mean?
LeBron James Jr.
Okay. Bronny?
Yes, Bronny.
That's
guy.
The next flex is LeBron's like, I got to play until Bronny retires. And then now that would be hilarious. I'm not going to lie. So this is from the SEC Media Days yesterday. And I love these college football coaches who think they think we all work for them. They think the media works for them to some degree or another. This is John Summerall, who's the new head coach at Florida. He's talking, and somebody's phone goes off, and you'll hear him get distracted and then just kind of not yell. He doesn't really snap at the reporter, but he's not thrilled that this happened.
Well, I'd say no two decisions are alike. You know, like Lane and I are friends, and Lane and I talked several times through the process of October, November about what it was looking like for both of our schedules of how things were going to unfold, and you'd be kicked out of our team meeting. I swear, like, you're lucky I'm not going to throw this freaking podium right now. Like, drives me crazy.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. That wasn't that bad of a call out, but I do feel like sometimes these coaches just act like, yeah, if you were on my team. Well, I'm not. I'm a journalist covering this sport. I do feel for the journalist, whoever it was, whoever, like, you're covering like all these idiot coaches. You got to sit through all these meetings. You're trying to break stories. Your editor's texting you something probably. It's like a lot of these reporters now have to do stand-up video stuff and be on a podcast and call into four radio stations and write 7 articles. And oh, by the way, they're like staying at, you know, a Roadway Inn on their way back. You know, like they're just, it's not what it used to be. It's not the glamorous position it used to be. So someone's phone going off is kind of like, I don't get as offended by that anymore because I know that these people are working ridiculous hours to try to cover these events. So
I don't know why.
A simple mistake.
Why? Because he was in the middle of a statement and the phone went off?
Yeah. You can kind of barely hear it in the background. So it's like music playing and the person's trying to like
cut it off real quick.
But it would be distracting. I get that.
I think he just trying to be funny.
I think what got lost in all this was him saying the quiet part out loud of, oh, in October, me and Lane were talking about how we don't know where we're going, but we're not going to be where we're at.
Did he say that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what he was saying. He's like, we have a good relationship. We were talking back in October. That was back when they were both coaching at other schools, to his point. And by the way, Lane Kiffin, was he not up for the Florida job?
Yeah.
Everyone kind of thought that would be one of his landing spots, so
he was like, Lane, let me know where you're going so I can know where I'm going.
Pretty much.
I'm just going to start hitting realtor.com a little bit while you figure out where you're going. But I'm going to keep some zip codes open just in case. But yeah, I don't know, man. I love it when the coaches act like that media people work in their environment. It's like, you're a college football coach. Of course you can tell these guys, you can have all your rules and stuff, but it's bizarre when they kind of treat the media like that. That wasn't too terrible, I guess, but yeah, I don't feel like, I think sometimes people get crap for that. The amount of times, I'm surprised phones don't go off in every meeting, like every one of those press conferences. I mean,
usually you silence it.
I do. I keep my phone on silent all the time.
Yeah, my phone's been on silent since 2012. If that thing made a noise, I'd break it.
Yeah, my wife has all her notifications on because she's always like worried about something with the kids or whatever. I'm like, I am the exact opposite. I don't even remember how to turn the sound on. I don't know what my phone sounds like if you call it. I have no idea what noise it makes.
That's sad.
I've never heard it make a noise. It's always been, since I got it, it's been on silent.
My phone is on silent when I'm working, like doing something like this, and when I'm asleep at night. That's the only two times.
Well, yeah, like when they introduced Do Not Disturb, I'm like, my phone's been on the natural Do Not Disturb. Sounds whatsoever.
Do Not Disturb don't work for me because people can still call you, right?
Yeah, they bypass it.
Yeah, they like, for example, they figured out that, because I did that in college. I did the Do Not Disturb, but then if they FaceTime you, it rings no matter what. So once I learned that, I said, no. Y'all not interrupting me yet. Whatever happened at night, it'll still happen when I wake up in the morning. So I silence the phone.
Oh yeah, I'm inconsiderate. if I text someone and it pops up Do Not Disturb, do you want to notify anyway? I'm like, yes.
No,
I'm important.
Does that actually make the phone
That's
ring?
Insane. I don't know, but you can say notify anyway.
Well, you could try that out. You could find out. You could do that with Tyvus. You could call him. You put it on Do Not Disturb and call them and then see what happens. That's the beauty of having multiple people here. We can just figure that out. I'll tell you the thing that's annoying me now on phones is when people are sitting, and it's usually not the youths. It's usually people who look like me and are older who will be sitting in a public space loudly listening to like their Instagram reels or their TikTok or whatever. It's like boomers who don't know to put earbuds in to listen to stuff in public who are just going through their TikTok and scrolling with the loud. When did that start? Why are we doing that?
Scrolling with TikTok.
Like, or Instagram Reels, where it's like whatever is on the reel is just playing over their speaker on their phone. They don't have like earbuds in to keep it silent. That drives me crazy. When I was in the airport a few weeks ago, there was a guy doing that, and I was just...
He's old.
Yeah, but how do you not know? Like, that seems like the type of thing that the olds would be like, oh, these kids these days with their TikToks. Now it's the olds on TikTok not knowing the rules. Like, you got to put earbuds in.
They're leveling up from talking on speakerphone in public.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's that same thing, and I don't get it. How do they not recognize that's annoying? I don't know. OSU, they missed out on a big-time recruit yesterday, so what does that mean for the Buckeyes? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
About a 7-minute delay for drivers heading up towards New Albany. That's because of a new incident in the area. We are now seeing a crash, folks. 161 eastbound at Hamilton Road. We had two right lanes that are currently closed right now. Before, we had a disabled vehicle that already caused some backups, and now that's extending 17 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds of backups. Now passing Little Turtle Way, heading towards the 270 and 161 interchange. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Terms. Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Oh, did you know that you can listen to us at home? If you get home and you don't have the radio, just tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. Tell Siri, tell Alexa, hey, boom, put on T-Bone and Tyvus. Bang, there we are. You can listen to us at home, so you don't have to give up on the fun.
Man. Siri and Alexa in the same house? God.
I got Siri and Alexa in the same
house. Must be nice.
Because I got a HomePod that I never use, but then my wife got like an Alexa calendar type.
So in this relationship with Siri and Alexa, both in your life, who is...
Menage
your ride or die,
Siri.
And who is your side piece that's only on, you know, you kind of don't talk about her. She has the burner phone account, but not the regular phone. Which one?
Who are we talking to? iPhone guy. It's Siri. Come on.
But for literally the majority of my life, up until 2015, I had always been an Android guy. So I've only been on the iPhone for 11 years.
Look at you.
Only.
Yeah. That's, the way you broke that down was like, I've really only been on Android for on or on, I've been on iPhone
that
for mean,
that would give
the
me
last
Android.
Decade plus. Is that's not a little, that's a long amount of time just in saying, the digital world.
Saying I'm 32, 11 years out of 32.
So when you were 21, so basically when you became old enough, I know
when
you
did
drink,
you get a phone?
But yeah.
I had a phone when I was in the fifth or sixth grade.
Wow. Look at you.
Was that 12?
Yeah.
Man, probably you lived a more lavish life than I thought.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it was a hand-me-down. It was a hand-me-down through two generations. Right. It was the Nokia. You know, the Nokia. You could do whatever. That phone didn't break. You could toss it, throw it.
Those Nokia,
I had minutes.
Were.
I had minutes.
Yeah, you definitely know the struggle there. My six-year-old yesterday asked me, can I have a phone? I was like, no. Well, if you stop burning your foot, maybe you can have a phone. But God, no, but I'm like, I don't. Well, you're six. You don't need a phone. Where do you go?
Yeah, I don't know why they need
a
phone.
Sit in the house. She's on a tablet, but here's why she wants it. Because now she tries to take pictures of everything because she sees her sisters taking selfies. So now she has a little tablet, and I'll see her sometimes doing the like throwing a peace sign, sticking the tongue out. She does that stuff and takes a pin. I'm like, what are you doing? Where are you posting that to? PBS? Like, what are you doing? You're on the PBS app. That's the only app you have. Stop it. You have nothing to post to.
She's making these funny faces, and then she got this pose that she doing. I just look at her like, where are you getting
it? They see older kids doing it, and they think that's what I got to do. It's I don't know. So David Gabriel George, he is the running back that was highly sought after. He made his decision yesterday, and it was kind of apparent as everybody was following this that he probably wasn't going to Ohio State, and it became official yesterday. He picked Tennessee. So why is this bad for Ohio State? Now, I have told you I don't freak out about recruiting, and I'm not freaking out about this, to be very clear. Here's what the recruiting people will tell you why this is bad. Like, I saw Berm talking about this, Austin Ward. Like, the issue is that they basically, Ohio State, to get his services, they kind of said, we're all in on you. And if we go out and offer someone else, clearly that's going to look like we're not all in on you. They knew that this was a highly sensitive situation, trying to get him, highly competitive. So to show that loyalty, they said, essentially, we're not offering other guys. We're offering you. You are our, there's no plan B. There's just you. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's nice. I'm going to Tennessee. So, as I told you yesterday, I don't panic about the guys not picking Ohio State, especially in the portal era where I can go to the great running back store, awesome running back store coming up in January and find a running back if you desperately need one. They got plenty of talent there now. Right, I'm not worried about. It's obviously he wouldn't be coming here till 2027 anyway.
Correct,
but you got to keep the pipeline steady. So I get why, you know, if you think this guy is the Jeremiah Smith of running backs, then yeah, that's a huge miss.
Well, but you better work on the backup plan. That's the way I look.
Well, that's,
it.
I mean,
you
I just
you got a backup plan, and like I say, I got a lot of respect for Carlos Lachlan, their running backs coach. I think he does a great job with the players that they give him. So. I have no doubt that he could probably coach somebody up if you give him somebody out of the portal with decent talent. And the portal will always be filled with talent.
They have time to flip other dudes. Hell, technically, they have time to flip this guy. Flip him.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's just
like, probably unlikely.
Right. This is why I've said I don't panic about high school recruiting anymore, especially after watching the transfer portal this past year. Like, the game has changed. And this, like, getting guys to sign up is step one in like step 2000 that you need to get a guy on the field playing successfully for you. You know what I mean?
I mean, hell, they have a guy on their roster in Legend Bay that signed his letter of intent. Wasn't it to Tennessee?
It was to Tennessee, and it was under, and it feels like it was under coercive circumstances by his family, and he didn't want to go there, and he eventually did, you know, get that change so that he could end up. But you're right. He signed a letter of intent, not just said he wants to go there, like, signed the letter, and then they got that restored and got him transferred over to Ohio State anyway. So not that I don't think that's going to happen here, to be clear. I think he's probably going to stick, David Gabriel George, probably going to stick with his commitment, stay at Tennessee. All that's fine. I just cannot get as worked up about high school recruiting, even for an elite stud recruit. He's a top 10 guy in college football. He's the number one running back in the 2027 class. All those things are true. I just can't get as worked up about any high school recruit because I don't believe that a guy is going to
a one-year deal.
Yeah. I don't believe that there's any loyalty in college football, and there's no rule saying you have to be loyal. So why would anybody be loyal? And if you desperately want him to be a part of your team next year, you've already made the inroads. You've already talked to him. Has Tennessee had a great record of keeping guys happy there? Have guys who have gone to Tennessee come out of there being like, yeah, it's the best place to play? Or have they had a few high-profile blow-ups the last few years with guys either deciding to go there and then it not working out, or guys just flat-out not performing when they get there? He may look at Ohio State at the end of, you know, his first year, maybe, you know, what would that be, the 2027 season, and say, yeah, why am I not at Ohio State? They've got room for me, and they're doing way better than Tennessee is. But he's getting paid more money to go there.
Today's society is probably likely.
Do you think Ohio State?
I think you do a great job of, if you come in second place, it's a great spot to be. Caleb Downs was in second. Well, Ohio State was in second place for Caleb Downs. Nick Saban retires. Boom. Caleb Downs says, you know what? I really did like Ohio State. Boom. There it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very easy to see a scenario where Josh Heupel and Tennessee just have two absolute horde seasons upcoming. And then he's like, you know what? Let's go hit the portal.
Well, fair enough. It's also, I don't know, man. I don't know what people think Tennessee is, but I see in Tennessee a program that is like glorified Michigan State, where it's like, oh, yeah, man, they've had some good years, but do they ever do anything of note? When they go play really good teams, do you see Tennessee stepping up and being awesome? Or are they typically like a four-loss team that ends up being like, well, man, if they were so close in this game and so close in that game? It's still that SEC mythology that is kind of propping up Tennessee, which is they wouldn't have three or four losses if they played in this other, if they played another conference, they'd be much better. Well, they don't. They play in the SEC. And if you think the SEC is this great conference, then to be in that conference, you have to win the, like, if you're going to be a champion from that conference, you got to go win these games. So
Tennessee lost to the, wow, I didn't know they was 8-4 last year.
I'm telling you, like, people talk about Tennessee. Yes, people talk about Tennessee who are around the SEC sphere, like, oh yeah, they're one of our great teams. No, they're not. They're an average college football team. Maybe above average, I'll give them that. But like,
Vanderbilt put BTA to them, boy. They beat them by 21
points. So I'm not trying to besmirch them because they got this running back that Ohio State wanted. What I'm saying is they had to double the offer, apparently, from what Ohio State offered to him. Good for him. Go get $2 million.
Good for him.
Yeah. They'll let you wear number zero there, apparently. Ohio State won't let you do that as a freshman. And good for Ohio State. Don't change your rules for one guy. I don't think you should ever do that. I don't think they should rip jerseys off the wall that have been retired and say, you want number 27? No, you can't have it. You're not Eddie George. That's stupid. I hate that stuff.
John Berger in the chat says, I don't care about recruiting ever since an average Joe from Bedford won defensive MVP of the national championship.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Who needs a five-star?
Saves the season.
Who needs a five-star when you can get a solid 2.5 to 3-star, right? Who needs that? All right. Do we have...
Oh, man.
We'll come back.
That's good.
Do we have a fan poll yet?
No.
All right. We'll figure out the fan poll when we come back. Plus, the Harbaugh family is exceedingly weird. All that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
On the northeast side, just outside of Blendon Township, we are seeing a crash right now. The left lane is currently blocked on that 270 northbound ramp as you're heading eastbound on 161 out there. Thankfully, not seeing a lot of traffic built with that one. But a heads up, if you're traveling towards the south area of Columbus, we do have a disabled vehicle impacting that 270 eastbound ramp. It's as you're heading towards Alum Creek Drive, that left lane is closed. That concerns me more. A lot of people tend to take that ramp to head out towards that area. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
To qualify.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Seattle Mariners 5-3 yesterday. Sal Stewart hit a 3-run home run in the 7th that put the Reds up for good. The Reds will have the day off today before starting a series in St. Louis tomorrow.
The Guards had a two-game win streak snap when they lost to the Minnesota Twins 10-6 yesterday. However, some good news for Guards fans as they saw the return of Jose Ramirez in last night's contest. He went 2-for-5 after coming back from left-hand surgery. And lastly, Ohio State lost out on a big target in recruiting yesterday as five-star running back David Gabriel Georges committed to the Tennessee Volunteers over the Buckeyes. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property, call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty. He'll buy it today for cash. Call him at 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, we're going to figure out the fan poll in a second. I just saw something from our YouTube chat. Evan in the YouTube chat. We were talking about our phones, iPhone, Android, which one are you on, that kind of stuff. Evan said, we got our son an iPhone recently. His friends wouldn't add him to group chats since we're an Android house. Now he's living his best social life. Are you kidding me?
I agree with you.
I've done it.
Are you kidding me?
That's the thing, man.
You're not adding
T-Bone
someone.
T-Bone ruined it for us now.
Yeah, I hate our morning show chat because you're in it. Not because I hate you.
You know what?
Because I hate your green messages.
First of all, I'm Android because I, one, know how to use a computer, unlike all Apple users who are just like, show me the pretty button so I can click on it. So I'm not changing, okay?
I'm not going to. Yeah. So quit asking.
That's right. Stay in green or blue or whatever. I don't even know what it's color
green.
Is. I don't, green, whatever. Just saying. So I'm on. That sucks, though.
I do like, miss my Android.
I don't blame Evan at all for doing that for your kid because you obviously don't want your kid. But like, kids are literally like, I won't add you to a group chat because of the weirdness of the phone. That's stupid.
I do miss my
kids
Android.
Are stupid.
You remember, you know, Androids was like one of the first devices that had like a universal remote. So like what I would do is I would download it on my phone, see what like the company of the TV was. Mm-hmm. Like say I was going to like the barbershop or something. And if I didn't like it, I switched the channel on my phone. And people were like, why is it doing that?
That's hilarious.
That's actually great.
It was unbelievable.
You're a genius.
My
like
first
that.
Smartphone was the first Droid. And then I've been iPhone ever since. So it's been like 15 or 16 years for me. But I fully admit, A, Apple phones are for dummies. Like, you're dumb. That's why you're using it. Because you don't.
I've never liked it. I've tried. I had an iPhone. I had to switch because I was like, I don't like this phone. It's too, like, it doesn't, I didn't like how it worked at all. Then I got an Android and was like, yes, this is what I was looking for. Simple Windows and things that actually work like a computer. That's what I wanted.
I'm just fully a part of the cult. Like, I have an Apple Watch, I have a MacBook, I have an iPad, and I want them all to connect and be universal. So I kind of had to choose one, and that's the one that I decided to go with.
That is kind of like, I have that with Google.
Yeah.
I mean, like, now I have all my stuff is all connected through Google, so that's, I'm in that ecosphere, so I guess that's how it works. But yeah, I get it. I also get not wanting to change for what it's worth, because now, like, we have, this is insane. Like, Evan was talking about how they switched phones so his kid could talk to other kids there. We have the same thing in our house, but the reverse, where I have an Android, my wife has an iPhone, and my daughters have iPhones, the oldest two. So like, in the family group chat, I'm the one screwing that up as well, apparently.
They have a whole nother group chat without you that they're more active in, guarantee it.
They probably do. It's called
really not.
When are we dropping this idiot and having our lives actually
it's
begin?
It's not as bad as it used to be. Like,
it's not.
It used to be like, if you had an Android user, it would create like a whole separate chat. Every time that person texts, it was a whole different chat. It was just weird. They fixed it now, though.
They have fixed it. But yeah, I agree. It's because I mess up a lot of group chats because I do that same thing. But I don't care. I'm not changing.
I was once so petty about the group chat. We had a whole softball team. There was 11 of us, and my brother was one of them. He was the only one that didn't have an iPhone. I made the group chat, didn't put him in it. I would text him separately. I'm like, you're not a part of this.
See,
I'll give you updates separately.
And you know what I say? Good. Leave me out of all your group chats and all the like, everybody coming to the game? Yes, yes. Thumbs up. Yes, yes. Like, add. No, wait, I'm not. Oh, wait, today? Yes. And it's just like, stop with the notifications. I don't want to see all this. Leave me out of those group chats. That's totally fine. By the way, fan poll brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub. I was thinking on the... what's his name? DGG?
David Gabriel.
Gabriel Georges. Yes. George. George or George? Whatever.
Georges.
Anyways. Yeah. Let him live. He's going to Tennessee. Maybe we do something where, are you freaked out about that? That could be the fan poll. Or we could go bigger picture and say, Do you care as much about recruiting in the NIL high school recruiting in the NIL / portal era? What do you think, Tyvus or Dylan? What, any thoughts there?
Do I like the first one better because I think that's, well, I feel like it's like a landslide. No, nobody cares.
I saw a bunch of people seemingly caring about not getting this. Granted, he's a star running back.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
But I feel like a lot of people still do care about that because of old habits. The same reason that I care if Ohio State loses to Indiana this year. If that happens, if you lose one game and it's to Indiana or to Oregon or to Texas, as long as you lose one or maybe even two of those, you're still Ohio State going to be a lock for the playoffs. You can still go win four games and win a national championship as long as you're playing right in December. But old me says you can't lose any games. You drop one game, you may not get into the BCS. The computers may not like you. My brain still has not caught up to that. And I think that's how we are with recruiting now, where this has just changed in the last few years, that now you don't necessarily need to have a stud high school football class to have a stud bunch of players by the time they're all starters. You can go get 15 of them in the portal if you want to. Mm. If you've got the money and if you've got the juice, you can go get 15 guys to jump on your roster and help you win a championship.
I feel like it's hard for a fan to say that they care that much about a high school recruit when every year you see top guys, like, yeah, I'm out. I'm leaving after one season.
I agree. That's where I went last
year. There's no way that you can really care that much.
I think the difference with this is that it seemed like they pulled out all the stops for him and they didn't get him. And I'm going to say it, spoiled Ohio State fans. We're not used to not getting our way. So when you go all out for one recruit, it kind of stings a little bit that he ends up not choosing you.
I'll say it, two things. One, we are spoiled and we should never shy away from that because those are called, like, we have high expectations. This team has spoiled us with more wins than any other program in college football history over the last, like, name your time period, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Like, Ohio State's been like that since I've been alive. So there's that. But also, I mean, I feel like, did Ohio State pull out all the stops or did Ohio State say, give you $1 million, we'll do this, we'll do that. Doesn't sound like we're getting you private jets to fly your family around in. Doesn't sound like we're going to give you the Blocko jersey just because you asked for it. And we're not going to give you $3 million or $2.5 million or $2 million, whatever you got from Tennessee. We'll give you a decent amount of money, but you're going to still have to come here and be a part of the team. And he decided he'd rather go get a little bit more money or whatever the other excuses are that he wanted the number zero, whatever the case is. I don't think to your point, Dylan, they put out all the stops with whole offensive staff went to go visit this kid, right?
All the stops they're willing to pull out, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they offered the kid who's not even like on the recruiting websites. They offered like his teammate, gave him an offer just because, you know, he can come join you if you want.
Is the teammate's offer still valid?
I'm going to guess he's going wherever the guy's going, right? Wherever DGG goes, that's where this guy goes?
I have no idea. What's his name, right?
I barely know the other guy's name. I don't know this lackey friend of his. I don't know his name. Anyway, the point is, Ohio State, I think, did the right thing, which is we will make a big push for you, but we're not just going to give you everything you want. We're Ohio State. We don't do that for anybody. And I think that makes sense. So we'll see. We'll find out if this kid actually ends up playing for Tennessee and playing well. If he does, after his freshman year, Ohio State can offer him and he can come play at the Buckeyes for his sophomore and junior year, possibly. So I'm not losing sleep. So what do we want to do for the fan poll? We'll just make it.
I said we make it the bigger picture question.
All right.
That's my vote.
Are you worried about, wait, what was, I forgot.
You're the one who worried.
My brain is completely fried.
That's
Yeah, my brain's gone. The game is gone. My brain is toast. All right, let's make it. Do you care about high school recruiting in the NIL portal era? Yes or no? That's your fan poll. Brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub. See, folks, this happens behind the scenes or doesn't happen at all. Now, today, you got to see how the sausage is made. You know what? I don't have this audio. We'll play this later.
What are we doing?
Well, I realize we have like 30 seconds left. I have audio I want to play for you of John Harbaugh. Wait, hold on. I have audio I want to play for you of John Harbaugh being weird, but we'll play that in a minute. Also, today is a huge day for the Blue Jackets, so we'll have some news on that. But go ahead, Ty.
Did you see that they, like, leaked a picture of Kenyatta Jackson with a patch on his jersey.
I did see
but
that.
But I didn't see what it was.
Is it safe light? No, I didn't think so. What I saw, and again, I saw a grainy photo like you, that Ohio State's jersey, there was some kind of picture taken, and it looked like there's a sponsor above the Nike sponsor.
Right.
To my eye, it looked like a Chase Bank.
No
logo. That's what I thought I saw was Chase.
No, that ain't no Chase.
I thought that's
Bank.
What I saw. I could be wrong. I don't know. Checked. I'm not trying to put anybody on the Ohio State jersey that's not on there. I thought that's what I saw. I could be wrong.
That's what they were saying, like in the message boards.
It might have been, dude. Yeah. I don't know. It could have been Photoshop. I don't know what I saw, if it was accurate.
See,
we'll
now,
find out.
Now
but it
I
does
find the picture.
To your point, it does look like there's a jersey sponsor this year. So we'll find out. So yeah, all that to come. Also, Harbaugh, weird. John Harbaugh this time. And Jack, it's big, big day today. We'll discuss it all next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Thursday. An update for our West Side drivers. No longer seeing a crash 70 eastbound, closer towards 670. But we are still seeing a disabled semi affecting that 70 eastbound ramp to North Wilson Road out there. Still expect those delays, about 6 minutes for that commute out there. And once again, involving a semi, first responders on scene. We can see it with that traffic cam, but we're still waiting for that semi to be towed. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hard to beat weather like this morning, as we'll have a mainly clear sky and comfortably cool temperatures, more like September than late July. For the afternoon, mostly sunny skies, still low humidity, highs reach the upper 70s. Partly sunny skies to finish off the work week tomorrow, a little bit warmer but still nice, lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
And America.
I hate it, hate, hate. Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You know, if you miss any part of the show, it's okay. You don't get up at 6 a.m. That's when we're on. If you didn't hear the first part of the show, you would have missed me talking about how I had a day from hell yesterday, where among other things, it involved cat vomit, a hot curling iron, a burn unit. It was a whole mess. If you want to hear the story, go find the podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tyvus. It's brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. But once you find the podcast, just add it, like it, subscribe to it. Maybe even leave a review if you enjoy the show. But once you add it or like it or subscribe to it, you'll get that every single day in your podcast app. So do that now. T-Bone and Tyvus podcast on your podcast app, brought to you by Capital Ford of Columbus. So which one do you want first? John Harbaugh being weird or a big day for the Jackets?
Give me the John Harbaugh.
Okay, this is him apparently talking with the Giants. I don't know if this was his introductory meeting or maybe this was like the first meeting where the team was gathered for, you know, the start of preseason. Whatever the case.
It appears that this was a tease for like some kind of documentary that the Giants are doing.
So this might have been like the first time he addressed the team or maybe something during OTAs. I'll just tell you right now, the Harbaugh family's always struck me as weird. Usually it's Jim doing the weird, but you tell me if this sounds awkward or not. This is John Harbaugh trying to fire up the troops there with the New York Football Giants as their new head coach.
Welcome, man. Good to see everybody here. You excited?
Yes, sir.
A little nervous?
Nope.
Man. A little nervous? A little nervous, man. I'm nervous? Excited nervous, you know? Nervous like a full game almost, Mason. Get this thing kick off. Standing up here in front of the New York Giants. The New York Giants. It's the New York Giants sitting in this room. The New York Giants. Wow. It's an honor. It's an honor to stand in front of this room right now. And I know those coaches back there feel the same way, right, coaches?
Sergio.
It's an honor, man. We've been working, haven't we? We've been working early, we've been late, getting ready for today. Today, sitting in this chair, this seat, getting to work, getting started, our beginning, because this is where it all begins, together.
The internet said they heard Joe Biden a little bit in these comments.
Welcome, man. Good to see everybody here. Funny.
I mean, I can hear it. That's I funny. Can definitely hear it.
That is funny.
Welcome, man. Good to see everybody here.
That's, dude, and I, again, you're hearing the audio. I promise you, when you go look at the video, this is a room full of guys. You, Tyvus, you've been in these meeting rooms.
Oh, my God. This that's is, good.
This is like
said
a,
that is good.
This is like a small movie theater is the size of this room, right? Oh, you've been in these meetings. They're big. Like, it's a decent amount. Of, you know, whole team's there. Staff is there. And he thought when he said New York football, we're the New York Giants.
It sounds like he's like taking it in himself.
A little bit.
Like he's like embracing where he is. Like it's like just now hitting him like I'm with the Giants type thing.
Well, and it's weird too because he's speaking to a room full of guys who I'm sure some of them are new to the team. But the vast majority of them are like, yeah, we already got past that because we played here last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe a couple years.
Yeah, it seemed like he hadn't had that moment where he like took in the fact that I'm the head coach of the Giants. So it's like he's caught in that moment right now.
They're also like a young team. You got people like Jackson Dart that are like, the Giants haven't been good since I've been 8. And then you got Cam Scadamu that's like, where am I again?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you got Cam Scadamu being like, we play for the Giants? Is that? Hey, good to know. Hang on a second. I got to go out to Triple H's music and do a backflip.
I'm interested to see how they turn out because I've long said, like, they got, like, good pieces. It just never really formed together. So I'm actually interested to see it.
I grew up rooting for the Giants. Being born in New York, I could give less damns about them now because they're the Jets.
Yeah, a Yankees fan. This usually goes Yankees, Giants. Right?
Yeah.
Or it goes typically. Mets, Jets, typically.
Yeah.
So it just depends on which family you
Yankees,
grew up with.
Giants, and Knicks.
That's
nobody the, roots that's for the Nets.
Yeah,
that's no, no one. No, yeah. The Nets don't even. Jets, no one gives two craps about the Mets.
Nets, Jets, Mets.
No, that's supposed that. Yeah. Like that's
and Islanders.
That's the Long Island thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Usually you're Giants and Rangers and Yankees and Knicks. And then all the Long Island teams, essentially. But everybody on Long Island is like, oh, yeah, I've been a Knicks fan my entire life now. Now they got Jalen Brunson. That's their team. But, yeah, I'm with you, Tyvus. That like, they do have good pieces, but here's my big question with the Giants. Do they have a quarterback who can stay healthy?
Well, he's a concussion guy.
He's a guy who has not met he likes to make contact. He likes to be the let me get the extra 3 yards. If he can get that coached out of him and stay on the field.
He was great for me in fantasy last year.
Well, there you go. But if he can stay healthy and on the field, then maybe you have something there with better coaching and with obviously a little bit more of a, you know, improved defense, things like that. But I don't trust that they have a piece like him and Jackson Dart that can stay on the field. I think he's going to end up getting more injuries because of the style of play he has. If he changes that, then yeah, maybe they are cooking with something there. But
I forgot Odell went back there.
Yeah. I forgot he's still in the league. That's right. That was like
the thing. He wasn't.
No, I know he wasn't, but then he's back. So,
yeah.
Okay. Good to see. Big day for the Blue Jackets. So we are, as we speak right now, less than 45 minutes away, actually less than 40 minutes away from an arbitration hearing that will determine how much money Jet Greaves is going to get paid this year by the Blue Jackets.
$5 million.
Well, here's the thing. They could still hammer this out prior to 9 a.m., but there's a 9 a.m. arbitration hearing that both sides have agreed to if they cannot come to an agreement before 9 a.m. If they can, they don't have to go through arbitration. If they do, as I understand it, not being, again, I'm going to be honest with you, not the biggest capology expert in the NHL system, not a huge arbitration guy, but from what I understand, this is a one-year situation.
Yes.
You go to arbitration, you get a one-year deal, and that is basically what Jackets don't determine that. Jet Greaves' camp doesn't. They don't agree to that. It's arbitration hearing guy gets to make that call, guy or gal. Mm-hmm. So once they enter that at 9 a.m., that decision will be binding and final, but that will also only be a one-year deal for a guy that I think the Jackets believe could be their franchise goaltender. I think they'd like to get a long-term deal done with him, but did you see the numbers that they put out? Because when you go to arbitration,
$50 million? And who do you think you kidnapped, Chelsea Clinton?
That's not that much.
Not quite that. But here's the thing. The gap between the two sides that apparently will get merged today at 9 if they don't come to an agreement here in the next 35 minutes, it is Jack Greaves' camp said he thought he's worth about $7 million a year. Jacket said he's worth about $2.8 million. Now, that's a negotiation starting point. That's not an end point.
Four.
Well, yeah, probably somewhere between four and five. And probably that's where a long-term deal would have to end up, is somewhere in that range. But saw from Brian Hedger, who covers the Jackets for the Dispatch less than 30 minutes ago, he said the two sides are still talking, but no agreement has been reached as of like 7:30 this morning. So
if they get the deal done before 35 minutes,
then before 9 a.m., they don't have to necessarily announce it. But as long as they've agreed to it and it's filed with the league, they don't have to do the arbitration hearing. But once it goes to arbitration, there's no going back on that. And it's a 1-year deal.
Tyvus, would you take that personally, though? Like if you're feeling like they're lowballing you that bad, like, do you think that that's affecting his relationship with the franchise?
Yeah. But what is he going to do? What's he going to do? Go out there and what are you going to do? Go to arbitration, take the whatever they give him, and go out there and play bad for him?
Well, he'll play good for 1 year and then say sayonara.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he would do.
Well, this is the problem, though, is that the Jackets had kind of, I think, penciled him in as like, oh, we've got our goalie now for the foreseeable future. We'll get a deal done with him. That'll make sense. And they haven't been able to come to terms. I saw Elliot Friedman, who, you know, obviously covers the NHL. He said, yeah, these are negotiation points. They are supposed to be kind of far apart. But he said, even for that discussion, this is even further apart than you usually see two sides. So the personal stuff could come into play.
Where was $7 million a year? Like, is that like the going number?
It's good money for a starting. I mean, I don't think it's the highest paid goalie in the league by far. I mean, that's
put him at like 15?
Probably top 10. I think it'd be like top 10.
Is
money.
He a top 10 goalie?
No, but he's starting a negotiation for the Jackets to come in and say, yeah, we don't think you're even close to that. I understand the Jackets are trying to do good business, but it's not helping perception around the league that the Jackets don't take care of their players, don't spend the money that they should, all that kind of stuff. The fact you have a whole offseason now where Zach Werenski, your Norris Trophy winner, is basically openly saying he kind of wants to go play elsewhere, and then they agreed to put that on the shelf for a year, more or less.
John Gibson's for the Ducks. He's getting 6.4. Is he better than him?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I'm not a goalie coach. I mean, I don't know what their numbers
are.
I don't know.
Jeremy Swayman for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, he's a good goalie. I know him.
8.25.
Okay. Yeah, Jets probably got a little ways to go to get to that guy's level.
These are the highest, closer to the higher paid goalies.
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, the guys.
I'm trying to see where he at.
Put it this way, Tyvus. If you were signing a young quarterback who you thought was a future of your franchise, quarterbacks and goalies are different.
Yeah.
But like when a young quarterback gets his like first big deal, that's not usually like the highest in the market, but it's not the lowest. It's not, you know what I mean? You're working towards being one of the higher salaries. And then all the veterans go, well, if that kid's getting that, then I got to redo my deal. There's more money in this salary cap. So that's why these numbers are high on his end.
I respect the seven.
Good for him. Ask for it.
I think I'd give him the seven. Elvis is getting 5.4.
Well, that's a bad contract.
See, Elvis is. That's what they want to avoid, is another. And they have to. You can't have $15
million.
That's
why he's saying it, though.
But like, you can't have $15 million in your goalies if they're unless you have, like, the best guy in the league, maybe even then.
But you're right. Like, if I'm Jed, I'm like, why am I not getting paid more than him?
That's what I'm
saying.
Absolutely.
And you were willing to give him that, not just last year. That was a few years ago they did that deal with Elvis. So the Jackets obviously are trying to avoid that situation. They also know they don't want to get Jet Greaves to be someone who says, yeah, after this year, I'm out. See you later. You know, so delicate situation. You got, like I said, about 35 minutes left till they hit arbitration. When that happens, if it gets to arbitration, I think that's a bad thing for the Jackets. I don't think that's a good thing. And I don't think I'm breaking any news on that. All right. A lot of your voicemails have come in. 614-460-8010 is the number. We're going to hear what you had to say. Play some voicemails from our new hotline. Coming up next, T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
As expected, closer towards 8:30, we are seeing a few traffic trouble spots out there on your Thursday. That includes 71 in that northbound direction at Greenlawn Avenue as you were heading downtown, as well as on the east side, just south of Reynoldsburg, 70 westbound over by Bryce Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan
org. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Saw a tweet yesterday, came across my timeline. It was someone who just posted this on Twitter and it got some traction. The post was, I tried Coke Zero at lunch instead of Diet Coke. All the aspartame without any of the refreshment, the glamour, the joie de vivre of the satisfaction of cracking open a cold glistening can of DC, insidious beverage, Coke Zero. Now, I am a big fan of the Zero brands. I don't do the diet brands. I do the Zero brands.
What's the difference?
Yeah, please tell us. Please inform us.
Coke Zero actually tastes similar to Coke. Diet Coke tastes like a gym sock. Gives you the refreshment of licking a fresh coat of paint. That's what I think of Diet Coke.
But like
disgusting.
When it comes to the nutritional stuff,
they're both zero sugar, zero calories, zero whatever.
So why do they taste different? Yeah.
Because they have different artificial sweeteners. That's the difference. I'm not a fan of Diet Coke. I don't understand the people who are. I know it's popular. I know a lot of you like it. I know I'm probably starting a war here.
I don't know why y'all drink that dark stuff anyway.
You're weird.
Stay away from that dark.
I'm a regular Coke guy, but I know Tyvus and I are united about our questioning of the science behind diet drinks and zero drinks.
I don't understand it. It's a sweetener that doesn't have sugar.
They both zero sugar is supposed to be like 0 to 5 low calories.
Yeah, they have very little calories because most of the calories in pop come from the sugar.
They take it out the same thing. It's the same drink taking out the same stuff.
Yes, but they use different. Okay. You know what? You're right. Go ahead and get Nikes or Skechers. They're both shoes, so who gives a crap, right? That's fine. Stand in line for Skechers. Same thing. Jordans or the new Elways or whoever it is. Go get those.
What are you talking about? I'm going to let you know something. When you got 3 kids, Skecher prices start to look good.
I give you that. I'm just saying. You're talking to like a guy who probably has drank probably too much Coke Zero in his life, but
it's supposed to help you lose weight, but like
it obviously does it's not working for me. But I'm not even doing it for that. Like, I mean, I acknowledge the fallacy of zero drinks. I know I already eat too much sugar from other things. I don't need to add. I can tolerate the Coke Zero, so why would I just even add more sugar into my life when I don't need it?
The only time I've really tried a zero drink was when Common Man bought me a Sprite Zero and made me drink it. And I was like, you know what? It does kind of taste just like a Sprite.
Yeah, no, I think the Sprite Zero is actually really good.
Yeah.
It's very similar to Sprite.
I got my kids doing it because my oldest got an addiction to pop, Sprite particularly, and my wife don't know how to cut her off, so this is what we're going to do. Give her Sprite Zero.
Mm. And then eventually get
she
to...
She can't tell. She
there couldn't you go, even
tell.
Good.
See, you know why you can't good. Tell? Because it's the same thing. It's all marketing scheme.
It can't be.
Nope, it is.
It can't
they
be.
They should be sued.
They're all in cahoots. The FDA is in on it as well.
Now, I do feel like, by the way, Coke Zero, like, Coke has announced they're doing, like, a new font on all their beverages. So, like, now that's a thing that everybody was freaking out about is, like, the cans are going to look different. But it is about the aesthetic sometimes. When you grab Mountain Dew did this, they redid their packaging, people freak out about it. You want the aesthetic, the thing that you're used to seeing, it's comforting. And when that looks different, that can, I think for some people, it messes with their brains and it doesn't taste the same. Like if you took Diet Coke and poured it into like a mug root beer bottle and left it out and said, try that, I bet you there'd be diehard Diet Coke drinkers who would not be able to tell you that they're drinking Diet Coke. Because they would see a mug root beer thing, it would mess with their brain. And they would say, I'm probably drinking root beer here. And they would expect that taste. It wouldn't taste like root beer. But they would say, that tastes really bad. I don't like that flavor. That's gross.
They wouldn't identify that it's Diet Coke and not root beer.
And they would say, it does taste like a wet gym sock. And I would say, see, you've come around to my way of thinking on that. All right. Do we have some voicemails to play, Dylan, from our brand new voicemail line?
Yeah, we have one from Tuesday that we got right at the end of the show.
So we didn't play it yesterday.
Nope.
We barely are playing it today because now it's almost the end of Thursday's show. So I'm glad.
But
we're definitely on the cutting edge. We have like 27 voicemails in the box. So we're that far behind. That's bad. All right. Give me this voicemail. Wow. Let's hear about it.
Hey, guys. This is Ron from Grove City. I was listening to you Tuesday morning, and you were talking about Richard Porn, Dick Porn. story to go along with that. Years ago, I worked for a quarry, and a gentleman there, some manager, his name was Richard Pease, and he went by Dick. Everybody called him Dick Pease. Quite interesting. I think I left my name as Richard.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So anyway, all right. See ya. Bye.
Hey, thank you. That's why did Rich never become the shortening for, I know people do go by Rich, but like, if your name's Pease, why wouldn't you just say, yeah, call me Rich? Rich and Dick have the same syllable. It's one syllable. Call yourself Rich Pease. What's wrong with that? That's very different than Dick Pease, apparently, is his name.
I would.
That's terrible.
I would.
His name.
If I knew Dick Pease, I would be like going to the front of like Walmart and be like, can you make a call for Dick Pease? And be like, can we get Dick Pease, please?
Dylan,
can we get Dick Pease?
What's
up here
stopping you from doing that now?
You're right.
You know of him. Go to Walmart today.
All I know
have
is
fun. It's live your life.
It's a company in Worcester whose name is Seaman. And is the guy that runs it name is Richard, but he goes by.
No, he does.
Yes, he does.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does.
There's not a chance that's
I
real.
I swear.
I don't believe in that.
Seaman Corpse. Look it up. Look it up.
Corpse?
Yeah.
Oh, like corp, like C-O-R-P-S. Yes. Okay, it's so like corporation or whatever.
Guy that runs it name is Richard.
Yeah. This guy is walking up to people and saying, hello, my name is Dick Seaman. Nice to meet you.
Correct.
Good for him. What's wrong with that? That's his name, Dylan. Nothing wrong with that. I don't see. In fact, I feel like if we did see a problem with it, we probably couldn't say it. So I see no problem with that guy's name. None whatsoever. That's great. What was that, Hugh Freeze?
You need length and girth.
Nope. Not what I was looking for. All right. Do we have any other voicemails to play?
Yeah, this is a food recommendation.
Great.
This message is for T-Bone and Dylan. This is Harlan in South Carolina again. I have a food recommendation for you. You gotta try the Trader Joe's Detroit style pizza. It is the best frozen pizza I have had, hands down. I say this is not recommended for Tyvus just because he hates pizza.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Harlan. Appreciate that. It's good. It's good news there. I will go try that. I've had some good Trader Joe's stuff. I'll try their frozen pizza. You say it all tastes the same.
Similar. And I stand on that. I will continue to say that.
The ding doesn't need to play. That is this. That's what needs to play is that.
I have never set foot inside of Trader Joe's.
They say that Trader Joe's is just hidden processed food. They've been lying to us.
Hang on. You've never been to a Trader Joe's?
Nope. Not once.
Never even walked in just to be like, what the hell's all this about, huh?
Nah.
What's going on in here?
Nope. I have no idea what the inside of a Trader Joe's looks like.
Tyvus, have you ever been to a Trader Joe's?
Yeah, my wife used to love them, but then they came out and said that,
it's all fake and processed?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it is.
My wife has not stepped foot in there since.
Well, I don't. I mean, I kind of figured that.
People don't believe that the Seaman Corporations is a thing.
No,
Google it. Headquartered in Worcester.
Yeah, Google. What was the guy's name?
Richard Seaman.
Google that. Preferably on your work computer. Shorten the guy's name, too, because that's what he prefers to go by. So call him that. That's fine. All right. Good to know. So what did we learn today?
Richard Seaman.
We've learned about Richard Seaman. We learned the Jackets and Jet Greaves are going to fight in court, and we're going to probably none of them are going to be happy. We learned that the SEC media guys, all their phones are on, and John Summerall's mad about it. And we learned that my kids don't know how to, like, take care of themselves, and we all had to whisper yell at each other. So it's been a good show. I think we did well.
This is a bad
The whisper yelling when mom is on the phone with work is just like, you stop it. The amount of times we've done that, I don't know how our voices even remain intact, honestly. All right. Coming back, we'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, right now, the roads aren't looking too bad out there for your Thursday. Just following up on one incident, it's happening on the north side of Columbus, really just north of Worthington. We are seeing a disabled vehicle right now. That 270 eastbound ramp is impacted to 223. Lane restrictions are expected out there. We are seeing some delays with our traffic cams this morning, so once you're passing, just make sure to be cautious out on the roads. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The only contraband hiding in Tybus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Joining the program, our friend, the guy that pushes all the buttons and the guy that I photobomb daily, Ryan Baker, the touchdown maker. How's it going, buddy?
Two days a week.
Well,
getting the YouTube chat, put pictures of Ken Johnson up on the screen.
Yeah, well, when you talk jackets, you know, and you talk about some of the best players on the roster, just I don't want people to forget Ken Johnson is in that conversation.
He's very skilled.
Yes.
He's very skilled.
Probably the most skilled player on the team.
He's very skilled.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bake, the arbitration hearing is...
He's looking at me.
What?
Sorry. I don't like how you ain't got faith that Ken Johnson could be a top scorer in the NHL?
I need to see it a little bit more. Mm. He's had one really good year so far. I need to see a little more.
Yeah. I think the Jackets are in the same boat. Now, we were talking about it last segment. They've got, a couple segments ago, they got 15 minutes or so to line up a deal with Jack Greaves. Otherwise, arbitration starts at 9, and once you hit that, there's no going back. It's whatever the arbitration hearing decides. Mm. I was saying that I feel a little worried about that. I feel like that could lead to problems down the road if you are not able to work out an agreement now with him. Does Jack Greaves and or his camp hold that against the Jackets in a year when they have to go do this again? How do you feel about it, though?
I don't. If this was 20 years ago, maybe it would worry me because sometimes these arbitration hearings would get nasty, where the sides would try to point out all of the flaws, or the management would try to point out all of the flaws in the player. Now this stuff is just all numbers driven. It's all stats. So it's a far apart amount both sides put out there, but he's going to sign. He's going to end up getting a 1-year deal worth somewhere probably between $4.5 and $5.5 million. And then they did it as a 1-year deal. The Jackets could have asked for a 2-year deal in this arbitration. They asked for a 1-year deal with Jet and Cole Sillinger, whose arbitration hearing is on Monday. They asked for the 1-year deal because they still have team control next year. If they would have went 2, that would have walked these guys up to unrestricted free agency. So I don't think there's going to be any hurt feelings. I don't think Don Waddell is going to be slinging mud at Jet Greaves today, because that's just not the way these things work anymore. I understand both sides of this. Jet Greaves has kind of had really just 1 year as the number one goalie, but that 1 year, some of his numbers were top 10. So I understand why there's this wide gap. They're going to come to a middling agreement, and hopefully that gives them, you know, another year to work on things. And next year, hopefully they avoid this and they get something signed where Jack Greaves is here for 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah. I
think why are you ideal? Why are you hosting today with a guy who hates 37U?
What are you talking
about? Joshua Perry?
Yeah.
Well, one,
he's a hater.
One, because I was told I was hosting with him. He was put on the schedule, and that's what I do, Tyvis. I work with what, but I love JP.
Why does he hate 37U football?
What is 37U football?
That's like it's like the semi-pro. It's like the older
adult football leagues.
Because it's old people. Nobody wants to see old people.
But they're not old.
37U?
I mean, come on.
Under 37, what?
You going to go play?
No.
Yeah, you go.
No,
go out there.
I'm not. Also, I played also, already.
Maybe it has something to do with Joshua Perry, war number 37. And he said on our show the other day that 37 was the worst number in the world.
Wow.
So
he picked it.
And he said he hated that.
Well,
he said 37 was not a good number.
Well, he said the reason that he had it is because he decided to be on punt team with Devin Smith, who was the best gunner in America, according to Coach Meyer, and they both were wearing 15.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for him to be able to do punt,
had to switch the jersey. Switch
to the heat because it was. And the crazy part is,
you don't want him announcing. Lorenzo Styles is
Devin Smith ended
now.
Up switching to number 9.
He did eventually,
but Zeke took 15, so he wasn't getting that.
Back. It all worked out, the way it should.
Oh well,
but yeah, I didn't even know there was 37U football.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
I mean, I've seen it called that derogatorily. I don't think it's actually
that's
like
called.
I think it's just like it's just grown-ups playing football who are like never going to play anything professionally. They just get together like it's rec league.
But I don't understand why Josh has a problem with it. What's wrong with it? It's not like they don't have a job. Like,
I don't think he cares, right?
Oh, yes, he does.
Like, he just doesn't want to watch it.
He literally asked me, he said, if Trace got older and played at 37U, would you go watch him? I said, yeah.
Would you still be alive? That's the question.
He told me if James got it and decided to play 37U, he's not watching it. He's not supporting
it. Wow. Well, James would be out there playing in his diaper, obviously, running around, because that's what he does. He goes to the neighbor's house. And
I mean, I get a little where he's coming from, but like my oldest, she's in theater. If like, I don't know, she gets to be in her 30s and she does like a community production of something or what, I don't know what she's going to do with her life. But if, let's say Broadway doesn't work out, if that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. she's in some play when she's in her 30s. If she lives near where I live, I don't know if I'm flying across the country.
No, this would be,
but like maybe for one, maybe, yeah, then I would go for sure.
I'd probably
across the country. I'd say, let's time it up so I can go see one of your performances.
Basically,
yeah,
what you're saying is Joshua doesn't love James unconditionally.
Sounds like he's like, I'll support you till you get into high school. And then once you get through that and get to college and whatever that, yeah. once that fizzles out, I'm done.
That's pretty much what he said.
Joshua can speak for himself on this and from 9 to noon, but I'm pretty sure me and him are in the same boat with like, if you're tearing your Achilles and ruining your real life over 37U, like I don't mess with you. Well, like, there's something wrong with
you. What do you mean? Yeah. They enjoy the game.
Dylan, that's why we all give it up at some point. That's why we quit playing basketball, because the risk reward was just too great. That's why we quit Tyvus playing slow pitch softball at some time, because the risk reward.
Basketball. Because you saw the dude drop right in front of you with his Achilles.
I still played after that.
Did you go this week?
I didn't go this week.
Oh.
What do you know? I didn't go this week. Well, it's been closed all summer.
And then this week it opened and you said,
I ain't going.
Uh-huh.
I ain't going. Okay. I ain't felt like
going. See, I retired from all rec sports at 29. I was like, my 30s don't need to see this.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. And you know what? That might be fair in
Good
some
logic.
Cases.
Good logic. So on Bishop and Friends today, you guys have your 20 most interesting programs of college football. And you're going to the state of Kentucky today, right?
We are. We're going to go down to Louisville and take a look at the Cardinals. Former Buckeye quarterback Lincoln Keenholz sounds like he is the number one quarterback down there, even though maybe he didn't have the best spring game. And the other quarterback that they brought in had a really good one. So we'll do all that. We'll talk to Dalton Pence at 11:30 today. He's the host of the Locked On Louisville podcast, to get a little more in depth on them. Also, Scotty Vegas is going to drop by at 9:45. The fan store is up and running. He's going to talk about that and tell everyone where they can get their new fan gear.
Oh, beautiful.
The t-shirts that Scotty and Jen put a lot of work into, and a lot of them look really, really good.
Good. I'm excited to see all that. Excited to hear that. Yeah. We have a bunch of bangers, I know. I've heard some of the things they've been working on, so I'm excited for everybody to get to see that stuff, too. 9 to noon, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan. Thanks, Bake. Appreciate it.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for The Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
Like when you guys are doing the Oba dance, or the, is that his name, Oba?
Yeah.
There you go. So saw this from the World Cup leftovers. Vinicius Jr., he plays for Real Madrid in his club soccer, but he plays for Brazil, for his country that he plays for. Vinicius Jr., one of the big stars of the World Cup. However, one of the things that happened was a lot of people got onto him about his chin. Said his chin was small, was not full, was not robust.
Fairly godparent.
Okay.
Crimson chin.
He's got a tiny chin. So, this is from, I saw ESPN, other places had this, the California Post as well. He underwent what they're calling chin harmonization procedure, which is fillers. And he's like unrecognizable now. Like, for those who have watched him, like he gone is the tiny little chin, and now he has a much more full chin.
What's his name? I gotta look this
up. Well, that's the thing. So Vinny Jr. is what is on his jersey. Vinicius Jr. is what his name is. But people have taken to calling him, instead of Vinny Jr., Chinny Jr. is now the nickname. Which
did
is,
they take like stuff from his behind?
And I don't know what they put in there.
They got butt chin?
What's the, is it, well, I was going to say a BBL. We'll put a seat. Never mind.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Not on the computer.
Not on the computer.
That's it for us. Have a great Thursday. Bishop and Friends is next. We'll see you tomorrow. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
No crashes, but we do have some slowdowns that we're noticing in our usual spots. That includes 71 northbound over by Greenlawn Avenue. Over by Dublin, it's that 33 eastbound direction. A lot of people using that ramp to head towards that 270 northbound spot, as well as staying on the north side south of Westerville 270 in that westbound direction, heading up 71 northbound towards Polaris. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.